I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time since 1984, the Montana State Bobcats are national champions. Taco Dowler caught a 14-yard touchdown pass in overtime to push Montana State past Illinois State 35-34 in the FCS title tilt last night in Nashville. The FBS playoffs continue on Thursday with the Fiesta Bowl semifinal between Miami and Ole Miss. On Monday, LSU said it would allow Rebels offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr. and running backs coach Kevin Smith to coach in that semifinal game, despite being LSU employees and recruiting for the Tigers. The transfer portal's open through next Friday. On Monday, former Ohio State linebacker C.J. Hicks announced his transfer to South Florida. There are still 15 Buckeyes in the portal. In college hoops, Ohio State dropped another one-possession game, falling to unbeaten Nebraska 72-69 at the shot. Buckeyes are at Oregon on Thursday. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI FCU. Visit BMIFCU.org/holiday loan.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Uncle Dom, a little bit early today. He'll join at 9:45 with a little Tuesdays with DeBerry. Ben Baby of ESPN on the Bengals is going to join us at 10:30. 11:30, Dalton Wasserman, PFF College, is going to join us at that time. The Real Truth hits at 10. We'll blitz the NFL, the final regular season edition of the NFL Blitz, coming up at 11 o'clock. Sports is great. It's just great. So last night, I obviously, when I put the schedule together for the practice times for the youth basketball in town here, I didn't give much thought to Montana State playing for a national title in 1AA. And so last night from 6 to 7:30, I had fourth grade practice, and then from 7:30 to 9, I had sixth grade practice. So this obviously would conflict with the Buckeye basketball game, which we'll get to. And then it would conflict with Montana State playing for the 1AA national title. So I sent a text to the parents. Normally with the sixth graders, I'd just bounce and let, my buddy who I coach with, he would just handle it. But he was out. So I was the only coach, and we needed to get practices in. So we did it. Texted everybody. I'm like, look, Coach Bo's closing down practice 8:45 to see the second half of this thing. So I was being kept up to speed with what was going on from several buddies, a lot of people texting last night. And I knew that Montana State was up 21-7 at half. And they've been knocking on the door of this for a long time. Last time they'd won a national title was 1984. Illinois State, the opponent last night, had never won a national title. This would have been their first ever in the history of their football program. So MSU since 84, knocking on the door, had been runner-up a couple of times, and watched as Montana won a couple of them in that time in between. Everything that I'm about to tell you all happened in a college football game for a national title. So the people that I'm going to be talking about and the plays that I'm going to be talking about is Montana State, Illinois State. But if you need to understand the absurdity of it all, just envision it as Buckeyes and Hurricanes. It's fine. Just do it that way, and I think it'll still play. I think it'll still play. It's 21-7 at half. The second half is all Illinois State. They go right down the field, make it 21-14. They make some adjustments on defense. Montana State can't move the ball. Montana State had one drive in the third quarter that made it 28-14. It was at this time that I got a text from Tim May saying, congratulations. To which I texted back, too soon. Too soon, Tim May. Way too soon. And then he texted something back about, that's me always prematurely celebrating. Ha ha ha. Okay. You know, Tim. This thing gets tied at 28-28 by Illinois State. There are 57 seconds left in the game. Illinois State has the ball on the 38-yard line. I'm sorry, it's a 38-yard field goal. They have the ball on the 21-yard line. They have the ball on the 21-yard line, lining up for a 38-yard field goal. They run out a dude who looks like one of the actors in Band of Brothers and not the one that plays Dick Winters. Not that one. But if you Google it, you'd know it. So little dude comes out. Apparently they made a change at kicker. This is a 38-yard field goal to put Illinois State up 31-28. As soon as I get a look at the kid, I'm like, there's no chance he's making it. I had a great amount of confidence. There's no chance he's making it. Well, not only did he not make it, it got blocked. So the 38-yard field goal, which would have won the national title or put him up to win the national title, gets blocked. Montana State returns it all the way to the Illinois State 45-yard line. In fact, they return it so far that you can see the green line that says, this is the field goal spot. Get here. You win the game with a field goal. Your kicker can make it from here. So return it that far. 8 yards on the first down play to the 37. Oh, baby, here we go. Let's go win a national title. The quarterback named Lampson, who was 12-13 in the first half, does the one thing you can't do in this situation. He takes a sack. So they have to burn their last time out. Montana State, up until this point, had 9 false start penalties in this football game. It is now third down, and now all of a sudden, you got to get some yards so that you're back in field goal range. Worst case scenario, you're going to have to punt, which seemed impossible just a couple of plays ago. What do? They snap it as someone's in motion, and the ball goes all the way back to the Illinois State 30 or the Montana State 37-yard line. So now it's fourth down and 38 from the 37. Montana State has to punt. Illinois State has to burn their last time out because otherwise the clock runs out, because thankfully Montana State recovered the kick, right? So now we're headed to overtime. What a joy. 28-28. In overtime, Illinois State scores on two plays. They score on two plays. They line up to kick the extra point, and the little kid comes running out, and it's blocked again. And the quarterback, I'm watching with NBC, he goes, oh, Dad, the quarterback is crashing out. He is 100% crashed out. Whatever the definition of crashed out it is, this kid did it. The quarterback for Illinois State did it in spades, and he probably had a very good reason for it. As the extra point is blocked, though, Illinois State commits the most egregious face mask penalty I've ever seen. So Montana State's going to return the kick for the points. Kid just grabs him by the face mask and pulls him down. Well, as it turns out, there's no real penalty for that. There's no penalty for that. There's no way to penalize it. Oh, and I forgot, on the touchdown play, they fumbled it into the end zone for the touchdown. On the touchdown before. So on a drive before. So all of this stuff is happening all at the same time. So now Montana State gets the ball. Another false start. Their 10th of the game. Like, just terrible procedure. The worst you've ever seen. Another false start. It ends up being 4th in the season. And Illinois State, and this is what I'm talking about, some of the stupidity of the coaching in this game from both sides. Utterly stupefying. It is 4th in the season. 4th and 10. Illinois State just knock it down, and you win the national championship for the first time ever in overtime. Illinois State sends the house. They send the house. The only player on Montana State that is dangerous in this scenario is a kid named Taco Dollar, who's named after Taco Bell, which is surprising because he's a Montana native, and the two that you would have gone with there that would have made more sense would have been Taco John's or Taco Treat. Both of those would have made more sense than Taco Bell, but apparently he was named after Taco Bell. 4th and 10, Lampson just throws it up. It's a safety on Dowler. Touchdown, Montana State. Now all of a sudden, all they have to do is kick an extra point to win the national title. Thankfully, they do, and that's how it finishes. This thing was as ridiculous a game as you'll ever see. And two things jumped out to me watching it. Number one, wouldn't all of the teams, you think of the MAC teams, you think of all of the teams that are in group of six now, wouldn't you benefit from this? Wouldn't this type of tournament benefit them tremendously? Imagine the thrill of seeing Reese, your alma mater, Ohio, playing for a national championship against Nevada, Wyoming, Boise State, whomever, and getting the chance to do that. The house was packed. The place was nuts. They played at Vandy Stadium. It was absolutely thrilling and awesome. And the other thing that I got a consistent about yesterday on social was, 1AA's been doing this tournament for this long. There's really no issue with it. Why can't Division I get this right? Why can't they get it right? And that's a pretty valid point, too. It's pretty the mess of it, the beautiful mess that it was, and Montana State ended up winning it. But all of those things happened in the last 5 minutes of a game that it's really hard to describe with any sort of to put it into proper context of just how absurd it was. But I just kept thinking, they need to do this at every level. This isn't that hard. Like, do this at every level. This is how you do it. And they really are missing the boat with the group of six teams, because this wins.
It was especially solid job by the FCS having it on a Monday night where there wasn't much going on.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the sports calendar, you had college basketball, but if you're putting this on Big Boy ESPN, I think they had the semifinal games on ABC, you'll get obviously the two fan bases with some buy-in, but there's just natural channel flipping. You're like, oh, this seems cool. Yeah. Wow, there's stakes in this. Oh, wow, the stadium's packed. Oh, they get to go to Nashville in January. That seems fun.
Yep.
Like, the whole thing wins. And I was thinking about the Ohio, because I had this on the split screen. My focus was more Ohio State, Nebraska, but I looked at the stadium and I just looked at the atmosphere. And absolutely, the group of five should move to this model. And even the Power Five should take notes here. End at the beginning of January. Let's not go to the 19th or the 20th or the 22nd, which is too late. This is perfect.
So while you were talking about all that, Bo, I took two things away from this, and congratulations to you.
Oh, thank
you. On your national championship. I, too, my focus was on the Buckeye basketball game last night, but I was paying attention to ESPN and seeing what was going on in this game, and I kind of, like Tim May, thought it was over as well.
Right.
So when the Buckeye Hoops game was over, I just kind of went on and started getting ready for bed and whatnot, so I did not realize the craziness at the end. The second thing here, what are we naming kids after Taco Bell for?
So I don't think it's his given name. I think that as a little kid, he just liked him. So he just changed.
So they just started calling
like
him
Tiger
Taco?
Woods. Okay. Yeah, they just started calling him Taco.
I mean, there's like, several guys like that are in college football right now called Turbo.
That's true.
I just think it's a nickname. That's at least what I thought last night.
There was a kid from Pick Central, Taco Charlton.
Yeah.
Taco Charlton. Yeah. Yeah. I remember him very well. Yeah. Yeah, it was thrilling stuff. It really was. And I think it's a great point, Reese, you make on the Monday night, getting it done early. I know we're going to get to this. Like, I know the numbers were through the roof on the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. We'll see what happens this week when they're on a Thursday and Friday night at the highest level. But it's a pretty streamlined approach that they do in the playoff, and there's some lessons that can be learned. And I also think that there's a division that would benefit tremendously if it was allowed to separate and contend and play for national titles. And I think it would win for a lot of the folks who are alumnus of those type of places and just fans of sport. It was a win last night. It was not a win for the Buckeye basketball team, where most of our attention was. We will get into another close loss for this Buckeye team, and they are really starting to stack against another great opponent. Again, good enough to win, but couldn't get it done. We'll get to that coming up next. Loaded up on a Tuesday, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I wish I'd gotten...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
That glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think, it only affects people that are, 75 or older, retired, grandparents, and that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
What's the best? best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Periods of drizzle with scattered showers developing this afternoon. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy. It'll be breezy and mild with highs in the low 50s. For tonight, cloudy and breezy overnight with lows into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, we do start off cloudy with more sunshine throughout the day and daytime highs in the upper 40s. For the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The ONN.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. If you love a good pie analogy.
Think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. It's your Uncle Bo here. When it comes to buying a ring, you don't guess. You just simply go with the best. And that's why I trust my friends at Diamond Seller. Whether you're ready to pomp the question or walk down the aisle, there's only one true jeweler for a moment this big. For nearly 80 years, Diamond Seller's been helping guys get it right. Luxury designer collections, expert in-house designers. They'll build a ring that's strong, timeless, one of a kind. And from me to you, they make it really easy. I saw my guy Daniel at Easton. We had an idea for my wife for Christmas. Locked it up. Got it done. She's thrilled. No pressure. No confusion. Just great advice and the right ring. This is about quality, trust, and getting it done the first time. Visit Diamond Seller, Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center, or online anytime at DiamondSeller.com. The Ohio State men's basketball team has lost 4 games this season by a total of 13 points. And even that's a little deceiving because the Illinois game ended up being an 8-point loss, but it was much, much closer than that. Illinois pulled away late in that game to make it a little bit more lopsided than the game was. It was back and forth the whole time. The one consistent thing in 3 of the losses, the Pitt loss, the North Carolina loss, and the Nebraska loss last night, was end of game situations. This team is not great. They're just not. There's not something that they can go to get a bucket that they trust. Sometimes you could question even the play that is drawn up to try to get that bucket. I think all of those things are fair. The other consistency now throughout this basketball team is it has no bench. It has no bench that Jake Diebler trusts anyway. Outside of Gabe Cupps for a handful of minutes. But outside of that, it's basically 5 guys playing the whole time and against really good teams. I think there's signs of fatigue that are there as well. It's a frustrating one because, as we said yesterday on the show, this is the type of game that Buckeye basketball needs to win for this city to pay attention to it. It looked like the atmosphere was mostly decent last night, but juxtaposed to what you saw that followed at Michigan State, and you see the cauldron that is, pretty big difference between the two of them. It's four losses now. And you're starting to dig a little bit of a hole when it comes to trying to be a tournament team, which is what we said was the minimum requirement this year, was make the tournament. You need to start winning these type of games from time to time if that's going to be the case, fellas.
Yeah, this is another troubling year, right? I guess another troubling, almost had it theme, the second year in a row for it. And I think for even at the end of the first half, you have 19 seconds, you had 9 seconds and a timeout at the end of the game. And I kept finding myself saying, that's what you had? Like, that was the shot? I mean, I don't think Christoph Tilly had made a three since November. And he's the guy with the final shot? I just think in those situations, when you don't have automatic Bruce, please save us, you don't have anything. And it's extra troubling because of what Dusty May is doing at Michigan. I mean, these two coaches are on parallel tracks. Mm-hmm. And I saw the graphic that Fox put up that said most one possession losses over the last 2 years. And Ohio State was, if not had the most one possession losses of any team in Division I, they were right up there.
Yeah.
And that was before this game went final against Nebraska. And like, you caught Nebraska on a bad night and you still couldn't get it done. And it feels like we're just kind of going through the same motions as last year. Maybe to a worse degree, because how much more can Bruce? I mean, most of Bruce's points were in the second half. Mm-hmm. So how much further can this team go with that? Not much, I don't think.
The last four games for the Buckeyes since Amari Bynum has moved to the starting lineup, they have 27 points from their bench in four games. Two of those games, there was no points from the bench, including last night.
Yeah.
And then the one game where you had 14, all of those were Brandon Knoll. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Knoll left last night's game with a foot injury. Hopefully that's not too serious for this Buckeye basketball team. But this bench is an issue, and it was supposed to not be this year. With another year of development from Colin White, supposedly, Tayson Chapman being healthy, you brought in Gabe Cupps. But it sure is the same story right now with Bruce playing 37 minutes, 38 minutes, 36 minutes a night. John Mobley over 35 minutes, and Mobley was pretty good last night. He's had some struggles this year, but he was really good last night. The concerning thing to me, and we talked about this on this show, is I feel like I know what this Buckeye basketball team is, and it's no knock on Bruce Thornton, but Bruce Thornton is the one. He's the 1A, the 1B, he's all of it. And we've seen that the last 3 years. We know what that leads to in the end. But there's no doubt he's your unquestioned guy. And you've had two games now where you needed a shot at the end. This one in North Carolina, and Bruce doesn't even touch the ball. That's a problem. That's a big problem. And I tweeted this last night. Having Tilly shoot that three to tie the game or a game winner, whatever it's going to be. Last night it was to tie, is the equivalent of taking 4 and 7 off the field in the red zone. When you need points, your best players have to be involved.
I mean, you might as well just have Junie just have the ball then. If he's going to take it up the court, just have him try to rock it off a three.
Well, let's hear from Jake on that, because he was asked postgame why the decision was the way that was made the way that it was on the Tilly final shot.
The timeout I wanted to keep in case we got in trouble, because we knew they were going to foul, and we felt like we've practiced that play to prevent teams from fouling and be able, as Junie said, to kind of get him on the run so they couldn't foul. You know, I think obviously hindsight, if I had that, I wish I didn't have that timeout left. I wish I had used it to rest us a little bit earlier. I thought we got a little fatigued down the stretch. As far as the end of game goes, you know, I think, you know, Tilly was a little rushed there. If he would have caught it and kind of squared and didn't have anything, then we obviously had it to burn and put them in a situation where the clock is less, where they're less likely to foul. Because by the time that play would have developed, if we're in a foul, so we're shooting, you know, with 5 seconds or under, right, that probability's a lot tougher.
So the thinking would be that if you don't, what he's trying to do is create a situation where they don't send him to the line and extend the game with the idea of being up three. That's what you're going for there, and that's why he held the timeout. It's a lot of thinking in a situation like that, and it seems like what he was going for was something with Juni getting a shot up is kind of what they were going for, and maybe wasn't drawn up this way. But the execution at end game is pretty real, and it's a bit of a problem. The bigger problem, though, is there is clearly nobody, and this is just at some points, like, you just watch games. Like, there is no trust in this bench at all. And so I've kind of been with you, Bake, and it's a tricky one because I want to make this abundantly clear. Like, I really like Bruce Thornton. I really like him as a player. And I've said this before, Bake, before you joined the program, like, I just don't think he can be the best player on a Sweet 16 team. I think he's a role guy. And definitely, and people will fire back. Oh, he's going to be first team All Big Ten. I know. He might be first team All Big Ten. But I just think that there needs to be, if he's going to be your one, then your 1A has got to be somebody who can pick and roll off of him and is elite. I just don't think he can be the best player on a Sweet 16 team. I could be wrong.
Two things can be true, right? He has been great for Ohio State, and he is a really, really good college basketball player. That is definitely true, but it is also true what you say. On a top five team, a top 10 team, he's a number two or three option.
Yeah.
That both things can be true. It doesn't diminish Bruce any.
I hope it doesn't. I don't mean for it to. That's certainly not the intent. I just think when the way that this roster is kind of built with the three smaller guards, and it put Cups in there too, because he gets kind of the only one off the bench who gets, you know, a little bit of minutes. It's just tough to kind of do your business that way. And it's tough to from a roster construction, it's going to be tough, especially in the Big Ten where there's so much length and size and obviously a very long season left. The next time that you will see this team play will be at 10:30 at night at Oregon on what, Thursday?
Yeah,
Friday?
Thursday night.
Thursday night at 10:30 on BTN. Then they're at Washington at 6 o'clock on Sunday night on Peacock. That's the next two times you'll see this team play before playing UCLA a week from Saturday back here on CBS at 1 o'clock. So that's what the next couple of weeks look like for the Buckeye basketball team. And that road trip out west is going to be, those are tough places to play. That's big time travel. They needed it. They needed that one last night to have a little bit of momentum into it. Speaking of needing it, the Buckeyes on the football side of things need a little bit of good news in the portal as well. We will get to that. And the reality that however much the adults in the room have screwed up the college football sport, you are watching in droves. We'll get to all of that coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your child's oral health milestones matter. By age one, see a pediatric dentist to establish good oral health habits. At seven, see an orthodontist to check your child's bite, teeth, and jaws. Around 15, visit an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to have your child's wisdom teeth examined. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit milestonesmet.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
Sup with you?
Guess what's up on a Tuesday edition of the program. The ratings are up from a college football perspective. Massive numbers on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Ohio State and Miami averaging over 19 million viewers on New Year's Eve. The big winner on New Year's Day, of course, was the Rose Bowl game. It hit right in the sweet spot where everybody knows that it's there. 23.9, nearly 24 million people saw Indiana beat the absolute brakes off of Alabama. The other two games on New Year's Day did quite well as well. Oregon, Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl, 15.9 million, very good numbers on that. And then in the late game, Ole Miss and Georgia, 18.7. This is bigger than like NBA Finals game sevens. I mean, that's just now what college football is. It's so far and away the second most popular sport despite all of it. The
The thing that was interesting to me, and I'm sure you guys talked about this on Friday, but the helplessness of Alabama against Indiana was a hell of a thing to see. Seeing how this sport has been over the last 20 years or so, that is probably the biggest. You wouldn't believe it if I told you, like from 3 years ago, is probably Indiana being the number one team in the country and beating Alabama the way that they did in humiliating fashion in the Rose Bowl. To me, if you throw a banana in Mr. Fusion and go back to 2023, and if I were to tell you that, that is no less shocking than if you would have gone back to 2004 and I would have told you that Michigan would have lost at home to Appalachian State. I think it's that level of, wait, what? Not now, because we know what Cignetti's done the last 2 years and legitimacy and all of it. But I'm saying if you go back before they hired him, and you said this is going to happen, you would have said you're nuts. And I think there was a curiosity with that, obviously, with people. And one of the things that's happened because of the SEC's television packages over the last 25 years with CBS is all of those ultra regional brands are now pretty national. Alabama is a very national brand, and even Georgia and Ole Miss, which is as regional a rivalry as you're going to get, you're still going to get 19 million on that thing. So, massive numbers for college football, nearly 24 million.
Jeez. Yeah, and Alabama kicked that field goal so they wouldn't get shut out. Like, that was crazy, the most unserious thing that I've seen a team that should be a little bit more serious on the football field attempt. And it was so they'd look over at Texas Tech and be like, see, wait, at least that didn't happen to us.
Jeez.
We didn't drop that goose egg. Because it was, I think both those outcomes were, I would say, the most shocking of the college football, of the 12-team college football playoff era. You had that Texas Tech team shut out by Oregon, and you had Indiana do that to Alabama. Yep.
I think the Texas Tech-Oregon one got a little missed just because it was noon and it didn't get the attention, and so everybody paid most attention to Alabama-Indiana, but I think you're right.
Also, Third Eye Blind was the halftime act.
Okay, so I'm
for we didn't Oregon, talk about Texas this. Tech.
So you guys are probably, Reese, you're definitely too young. Bake, I don't know if you remember this or not. The Orange Bowl halftime show used to be the show. The Orange Bowl was always at night. This was like Gloria Estefan Miami Sound Machine.
Okay.
Like, they would come out and put on a show at the halftime of the Orange Bowl. The Orange Bowl halftime show was the big one. It was the night game, and it was all of it. So that's something that's just the latest example. Like, the Bowl's like holding on to their tradition, and they're like, we're still going to do a big-time halftime show. And it's Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charm Kind of Life, which is a fine little banger from back in my high school.
That was our day.
I know. I can't remember what. I think it was like high school. But when they take the shot, I don't know if you guys were watching. When you took the shot, there were literally tens of thousands of empty seats. Entire swaths of sections just empty. Empty. And I thought, like, good Lord, what are we still trying to shoehorn all of this in here for?
It's so funny as we talk about this, and we've talked about other things, and we're like, oh my gosh, college football. Man, there's so many issues. They got to fix. They got to get it right.
Yep.
They are laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe they're doing everything right because they are just printing money everywhere. Everybody's getting a bag now, and the TV ratings are just going up and up.
Yeah. Yeah. It just continues despite all of it off the field. And we've been over it ad nauseum. You keep watching in a way that it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger every single time. I'll tell you something that we hit on this a little bit yesterday at the top of the show, but it's, I think there's even more and more proof of it. The parity in this sport is only going to continue to grow, and you're going to have situations where in a year in, year out basis, even blue bloods like Ohio State and Alabama, who are on the Mount Rushmore, both of those programs are, and really the standard bearers over the last 25 years of what the best of the sport can be has been done at Alabama and Ohio State over the last 25 years. And they, those are the two that go back 100 years too. So they kind of have check all of the boxes on it. If you look at what's happening in the portal and you think about the exodus that's happened here, and the two that jump out to me most here are Aaron Scott and Bryce West. And I thought Bob made a really good point on Morning Juice yesterday talking about this. That was a very salient point. Aaron Scott and Bryce West are Ohio kids. They're Ohioans. And they were going to have a chance to be contributors next year in their third year in the program. And they both bounced. And And so, yes, for a Lincoln Kienholz, okay, that makes sense. Like, he needs to play at some point. CJ Hicks is another one. Like, he just couldn't find a fit here. Like, didn't work for whatever reason. Let's see what happens when he goes down to with Brian to South Florida. Okay, fine. But those two guys were Ohioans at a position that they're probably going to be expected to play at next year, and both bounced. Now, they could always come back. Who knows? Test in the waters. Who knows? But if you go look at what happened to Alabama as well, you're talking about starting tackles in the portal at Alabama. Number one defensive ends from 2 years ago in the recruiting class in the portal. Like, there is nothing sacred here. Nothing. There was the quarterback, the Kenny Minchie kid who was at Notre Dame, had committed verbally to Nebraska, then got more money from Kentucky and flipped. This is what's happening. But the reality is, we're like, and this is the disconnect I think that we all kind of have a little bit with this. We're knee deep in the muck in it. And we talk to people who are involved in it, and they're like, this is chaos. And we know what's happening behind the scenes. We try to put ourselves in the position of Mark Bantoni and Ryan Day and everybody who's making decisions on roster there and saying, like, you know, how do you go ahead and retain your own? How do you make sure you have kids who are willing to put in the time to get that payoff? But you have to supplement in the portal. I mean, the teams that are still remaining are massive portal teams. Indiana, Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, those are huge portal teams. You have to be in the portal and you have to be good at it. And so for these traditional powers, Ohio State and Alabama, let's just use those two as the examples right now. I think they're trying to find their way on how to do this. And I think it has, for both of those two programs, and obviously we care mostly about the Buckeyes by a wide margin, I think it's been a really tough start to the portal. I mean, I think that you need to have some wins here from the Buckeye side in the next couple of days just to get a little bit of mojo back.
Yeah, the Buckeyes just snagging John Walker out of the portal, UCF transfer defensive tackle, had 59 of them in 2025. They've got Chaz Coleman on campus today. So he's my biggest fish outside of a kicker. Do not let Chaz Coleman leave Columbus. Try to figure out how much other, like Tennessee, how much LSU is going to offer him. Maybe put a little bit more cash on that check. That's got to be the thing here.
And their whole thing has been like, if we're not getting into a bidding war with, you know, oil money, and we're not getting into a bidding war for that stuff. I'll tell you this, I would not get in a bidding war with a recruit ever again. Ever. Unless it's Jeremiah Smith, I'm not doing that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to pay for kids to sign on the line, which is dotted anymore, because there's no guarantee that they'll actually get there. Just think about, if you're looking for an example, think about what happened with Bryce Underwood. That kid got $11 million, and they had to convince him. The first meeting that Kyle Whittingham had at Michigan was with him to convince him to stay. To convince him to stay after he already got the bag.
And maybe I'm in the minority here. I don't want to get in bidding wars with these guys either, unless it's someone exactly really, really special. Like, I'd have to go back and watch some more Penn State, but I don't know if Chaz Coleman is that great that I'm going to try to go outbid someone for his services. I just, like I said, and I could be wrong, and maybe this is going to be proven over time, but I'm just not that person that wants to flip my roster with the portal every year. And I know that one player isn't doing that, but I don't know that Chaz Coleman is better than Zion Grady, who showed a lot of flashes here at Ohio State right now. So the way Ohio State is doing it right now, to me, is perfect. If we find out in the next year or two that that's not sustainable, that it's not the way to win anymore,
yeah,
maybe I'll flip my position on that. But as of right now, I can't complain with what Ohio State has done and how they've handled this. And I will trust them if they're like, no, we're not going to throw an extra $500,000 toward Chaz Coleman just to get him to come here.
Yeah, these are the decisions and the conversations that are being had on campuses, not just here, but around the country right now. Like, what is somebody worth? They're worth what you're willing to pay them. Uncle Dommy, coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education.
I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, on every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
For the past 100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/your moment and get started today.
I thought mixing bleach with my floor cleaner would take the stain out.
When my youngest ate the dog's medicine, that was a new one.
I was trying to protect my garden, but I accidentally sprayed myself with pesticide.
So I called 1-800-222-1222, the poison helpline.
A poison expert helped me figure out what to do next.
I was connected to someone who spoke Spanish.
They answered my questions.
It was free.
It was confidential.
It was real help in real time.
Keep the poison experts in your pocket. 1-800-222-1222.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
All right, now you're in studio.
I have no answers to anything. I don't know anything. I just, you know what? I get told where to go, and I go.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
How can you sit here and talk to me after the betrayal of last week in Dallas, of what you did to me personally? It was a personal attack.
What did I do?
I saw you take little Adam King and try to make him a cowboy.
Yeah, did you see? Did you
like? How dare you? How dare you? After all that I've been through with you, to cowboy you up, Yellowstone, cowboy boots.
Yeah. Did you see?
I put you on the back of a Longhorn.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, you're trying to replace me as you have since the moment I first met you with Adam King as your new little cowboy.
Let me tell you what. Did you see the way I dressed him?
I did.
Was that perfect?
I did enjoy that.
Yes. Yes.
I did like that, yeah.
Yeah. No, and
I like tomfoolery with you.
And then we went to Lucchese, which is that's like the Italian cowboy.
You know what I'm saying?
It's an Italian company.
Didn't they used to have and that's where spaghetti westerns came from, right?
Yeah,
back in the day, the Italians liked westerns, and so they'd hire like washed up movie stars, American
let me
people
tell you
to come
what,
make them.
Nothing cheap in that store. I mean, the stuff was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
But how much is that hat? Well, the cheapest hat we have is $550.
That's right.
The cheapest pair of boots, we have a pair that are on sale for $999.
That's right, yeah.
But, I mean, they're gorgeous. I mean,
well, sure.
And I put him in those one with the flowers. And
those are beauts.
Yeah, he looked really nice. Yeah.
He did.
I don't know, buddy. I just am in limbo with everything. I mean, we live in such a football-rich state.
Yeah.
This is my take tonight.
Oh, you got a take. Okay,
yeah, my take is that we live in the greatest state when it comes to football, I would argue. Heck, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is here.
Yep.
And here we are every year. I love getting on in the beginning of the year, and we're so optimistic, and we've got all this. You know, the Bengals, they're going to be a playoff team this year. And
sure.
The Browns, would they just maybe with Flacco and maybe with Shador and, you know, just maybe, yeah. And that defense. And then we have our Buckeyes, and you know what we have? We have none of it now.
It's all over.
And it's just like, it's like, what happened? I mean, it's, you like, know, and pro football should be good in this state. It should be.
Yeah. I mean, we birthed the sport from our loins.
Yes.
So, yeah, it probably should be. My line on that is, in of all the places I've lived, nobody does Friday, Saturday, Sunday better than Ohio. Like, they're,
no.
You know, Friday nights, Saturday Buckeyes, Browns Bengals, although the success hasn't been there as much as I'm sure folks would like, the passion of those two fan bases is pretty legit. So, yeah,
now It's over. It's all over. And what I said is, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's not easy being a fan of the Bengals and the Browns. It's not. But
I have another theory that maybe the football gods won't let us have all of it.
I don't know.
That we've had the Buckeyes for all these years and they win all the time. So, like, the football gods are like, you have Ohio State. You also can't have the Patriots and the Steelers or whatever, teams that win Super Bowls. You can't have that. All you got to pick.
Well, the Bengals have at least been to 3 Super Bowls. The
yes,
Browns, prior to your birth, they were pretty good.
quite a bit prior to my birth,
you
know, in fact.
Prior to your birth, they were pretty good.
Not that old.
I mean, they, you know, all the NFL championships they won and all that, you know, but now it's like, I just look and I go, what are we doing?
Let me ask you this.
Imagine if we could take the Bengals offense and hook them up with the Browns defense?
Well, now you're onto something.
And you got a team.
Well, yeah, you would if you could actually do that. You and I have not talked since the Buckeye loss down in Dallas.
Yep.
When did you know you were down there? When did you realize we were in trouble?
I think when they came out and just hit us in the mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought we were going to see a track meet. I really thought we were going to play with tempo. I really thought that we were going to just, you know, run circles around those guys. And they came out and they hit us in the mouth. And we were lucky, you know, Ohio State was lucky that they fumbled, you know, that on that one drive. Otherwise, it would have been 14-0 or at least 10-0. And I just was like, wow. You know, and then that pick six, the way that went, and I'm like, this is not good. I mean, that was one of the worst halves of football I've seen in a while from Ohio State, the first half. Now, they got it going in the third quarter, and I thought at that point when Jeremiah scored and the way they were playing in the third quarter, I'm going, okay, now they're going to come back, and you know, and then it just didn't work out. And I think the thing that was most disheartening, the way the game ended when, you know, they got the ball with, 6 minutes left and literally just drove it down our throats.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
like Indiana, right?
Yeah,
Very similar.
I think the defense was tired at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I mean, I would not have predicted that. I did not see that coming. I don't know what the coaches thought. I mean, I just know I saw a picture of Ryan Day just, you know, on the sideline, just like, what in the world? And it was the perfect storm. And I've had more people come up to me, Bo, and say, what happened? What happened? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. We're not part of the whole world, but when it comes to that program. But what I do believe is the thing that makes the most sense to me is they just ran out of gas. For whatever reason.
Yeah, I think maybe we missed things along the way, or maybe we thought maybe we should have paid more attention to what happened against Indiana. I mean, the inability to block them. I think we all just thought, well, they'll get that fixed in a couple of weeks. And maybe that's something you can't get fixed.
Well,
because it was really trench warfare. Miami won it in the trenches.
Yeah, and I attributed it to the fact that, you know, they were a banged up team coming out of the Michigan game, because that O-line dominated against Michigan. But then again, how good is Michigan? We saw what Texas did to them. But that, but you know, I think that's could, you know, I chalked that up to an aberration too, because you lose your coach, you got a circus going on up there. I mean, I mean, and no offense, those kids didn't deserve all that. You know, I mean, what a crime that is up there. But they got run out of the place by Texas. And I don't know. I did not see that coming. I really thought this team, and, you know, you and I often talk, Vegas doesn't get too many wrong, and they still had Ohio State as the favorite.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, Ryan Day, I still say, is the best coach in college football. I think the world of the guy. I think he was very calculated in everything he did this year. He tried to keep them healthy. But the O-line, you know, the O-line play was terrible in the first half. And you're missing a starter. You got injuries. And it just, that was not the same O-line we saw against Michigan. Let's put it that way.
No. All right. I better not see that kid in a cowboy hat again.
Well.
You know what I mean?
I don't think, if we dressed him up like that, the way I dressed him, and we brought him out to your dad's place.
Jeez.
You know what,
not go well.
You know what would happen if you took him to one of your little brown water saloons.
There's no saloons.
That dude walked in.
It's not 1890.
Come on.
Get out of here. I'll see you.
Goodbye.
Later. All right. There he goes. Tuesdays with DeBerry. On the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do The Real Truth coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. 100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
Ugh. I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Next, the girl who walks for hours to bring home the family's water. The school she can't attend most days. Her little brother's belly laugh. Her dreams of being a teacher, an engineer, the mayor. It all connects. But at Child Fund, so do we. Through everything we do, so every child can grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Because we need each other. Learn more at childfund.org.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State's gone fishing in the transfer portal. On Tuesday, they pulled out UCF defensive tackle John Walker. The 6'4", 324-pound Walker had 40 tackles in 2025 and has 2 seasons of eligibility. The Buckeyes are also set to host former Penn State defensive end Chaz Coleman sometime today. The transfer portal is open until next Friday. On the field last night, Montana State beat Illinois State 35-34 in overtime to capture the FCS National Championship. In the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys fired defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus today. Head coach Brian Schottenheimer will remain. There are currently 6 vacancies in the league after the Cardinals dismissed Jonathan Gannon on Monday. In college basketball, Ohio State lost to Nebraska 72-69 last night at the Shot. Buckeyes are 10-4 on the season, 2-2 in conference play. They'll play at Oregon Thursday night at 10:30. The 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad is at Illinois tomorrow night at 7, and the Blue Jackets begin a 4-game West Coast road trip skating against the San Jose Sharks tonight at 10, here on The Fan.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Our buddy Ben Baby of ESPN on the Bengals side of things joining us in 28 minutes. Time now for The Real Truth. Hit it, guys.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Ohio State versus Texas, week two of the 2026 college football season, will be a top five matchup in Austin. Is that the real truth?
So it's week two?
Correct.
Well, one thing we know about preseason polls, and we've done them a lot around here, is they give a great deal of credit to returning quarterbacks. Sometimes rightfully so, and sometimes incorrectly so, as we saw this year with Drew Aller at Penn State and Cade Klubnik at Clemson and even Nussmeier at LSU. All of those teams were ranked in the top seven or eight of the country, and the Clemson and Penn State were, what, 2 and 3? Is that where they were at the start of the year? So you have Julian Sam. Do I have that right, Beck?
2 and 4.
2 and 4. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bucks were 3. So you have Julian Sam, a returning Heisman finalist, coming back, and you have Arch Manning, who played just well enough down the last month to make people believe that everything that people thought about him heading into this year was true by the time the season was ended, and maybe it was. We'll see. I think this is the real truth. I think it is. I think these two teams will be in the top five. I think it's funny, though. If you were to say, who do you anticipate being number one, I wouldn't have the first clue on who would be number one. Because the teams that are still in it are going to be massively different than they are currently, with the exception to Oregon if Dante Moore stays. That's the only thing that would upset the apple cart on this, would be Oregon being, and even them, I still think these two teams would both be in there. So, yeah, I think it is the real truth.
Yeah, I think it's the real truth as well. You mentioned the quarterbacks. Texas will have Arch Manning coming back. Ohio State will have Julian Sayin. Ohio State will also have Jeremiah Smith. Yeah. And we know that both of these rosters, regardless, are going to be loaded full of really good players. Texas really seemed to improve as the year went on. And they're coming off of a big win over Texas A&M and then a win in their bowl game. So yeah, they've got momentum heading into the offseason. And I just can't see Ohio State. And obviously, things will happen with these rosters in the transfer portal here. But I just can't see Ohio State not having a top five roster heading into next year. And as you mentioned, Bo, who's number one? I got a sneaky suspicion it's going to be Texas Tech to start the year, because they've got Sorsby coming in, and you know they're going to have huge additions in the portal. They already have so far. So I kind of get the feeling it's going to be Texas Tech that's number one. Indiana, Oregon will probably be up there. But I do think Ohio State and Texas will be a top five matchup again.
Based on how the transfer portal shakes out, Ohio State's going to receive first place votes in the AP top 25, top 26. Is that the real truth?
Yes, real truth. Yeah, there will be. And I think it's the bigger product of it is what we're talking about a little bit here. Who's won? I mean, this goes to what I talked about yesterday off the top of the show. We are in the parity era. I mean, Bake just said something that a couple of years ago you'd have said it was insane. Texas Tech is going to be number one in the preseason poll. They got the quarterback from Cincinnati. You know they're going to be active in the portal. This is where we're at. Like, Indiana is going to flip their roster again. He's going to do it again. Like, he got the quarterback from TCU. So, yeah, and the way he does, I mean, he just wins. So, you're going to have to consider them, too. I think for sure. I think you could see 7 or 8 teams receive first place votes next year in the preseason AP poll, because I think it's going to be any number of teams who could win it.
Yeah, the Ohio State will have at least one first place vote because, again, Julian Say and Jeremiah Smith in a roster that's going to be loaded with talent, whether it's proven or not on the field.
The other thing to watch for here and in other places, we saw this with Dante Moore a little bit over the weekend. Don't rule out some guys who are first round projections coming back to college on a big price. Like, there, some of that stuff is happening around the sport. Like, folks who you'd be like, oh, there's no way he's coming back. Oh, yeah?
Carnell Tate.
Oh, yeah?
Come on. I speak it into existence.
Don't be so sure.
Maybe it'll happen.
There's going to be some of it, I'm telling you.
We have fun on this show. Ohio State men's basketball is in line for another rough January. Is that the real truth?
Yeah. Yep. This next road trip's brutal. And these aren't like world beater teams that they're playing. But the times that they're playing them, who they're playing, when they're playing them, it's pretty brutal to go to Eugene in Seattle, play at 10:30 on Thursday night, and then play Sunday at 6 o'clock against Seattle out there. It's really tough. They're going to have to, and this is just kind of where they are right now as a program. They are going to have to earn our trust to be able to handle these things. And right now, they're just kind of even Steven. Win a big game, lose a big game. They've been brutal in the closing minutes of games. So their month of January, this takes them through at Wisconsin. They have the road trip at Oregon, at Washington, and then they have UCLA at home, then Minnesota at home, then at number 2 Michigan, then Penn State at home, then at Wisconsin. I'd be thrilled if somehow they went 500 in that stretch, but that's probably not going to do it. So if that is how you define a brutal January, win one, lose one for the whole month, to me, that's what we're signing up for.
Bo, it sure seems like they are in for another rough January, and here's the problem with that. Those teams you mentioned, the only team in this January stretch with a better record than you right now is Michigan. UCLA has the exact same record as you, but that's the only team who has a better record than you. You need to make some hay in January because your February schedule turns it up a whole nother level because you've got Michigan, USC, Virginia, Michigan State, Iowa, Purdue, all of them on the schedule coming up in February. So the sad thing for Ohio State is if January is bad, you are no hopes of making the NCAA tournament.
No. First day in March, you've got Purdue.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski will be the first NFL head coaching hire of the 2026 cycle. Is that the real truth?
I think it's in play. I would not be surprised at all if he ended up in Atlanta. I just think there's way too much smoke around that. He has connections with Cousins if they want to go in that way. And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that he has some connections with Matt Ryan, that there's some Matt Ryan family connections. And I know Matt Ryan's going to be a big part of that search. That would be the perfect job for him because they have all the weapons that you need. They had a nice draft last year on defense. And to me, that would make all the sense in the world would be for him to go to Atlanta and be in charge of that operation. I don't know if he'll be first. For the sake of the real truth, I'll just say to play the game, I'll say yes, he will be. But I don't know that he'll necessarily be. But I do think if he wants to coach in this cycle, he will be offered jobs. And my hunch is he does want to coach.
If John Harbaugh retains his job with the Baltimore Ravens, then yes, I believe Kevin Stefanski will be the first head coach hired. But if for some reason the Ravens here in the next week say, we're not keeping John Harbaugh and he's available, then I think John Harbaugh is the first head coach hired in this, because I think that's probably the only thing, and you mentioned Atlanta, I think that's probably the only thing that's holding up Stefanski from getting hired by the New York Giants right now, quite frankly, is the fact that if John Harbaugh became available, that's where the Giants would turn their focus. So I think this question all depends on the status of John Harbaugh. If he stays in Baltimore, then yes, Kevin Stefanski will be the first head coach hired. If he does not, then I don't believe he will.
Speaking of Baltimore, and by the way, the one thing about John is you don't know what anybody's why is. It would be, for all the time that he's been in Baltimore, it'd be weird, and all the life that he has built there, it'd be kind of crazy to just go somewhere else after all that time and not maybe take a beat, take a year and kind of get your bearings a little, decide how you want to handle things. One thing on the, on that front with John Harbaugh, if there is a change there, pay attention for, Todd Monken, who's the offensive coordinator there. He was the offensive coordinator at Georgia when they won the national title. He was the offensive coordinator with Cleveland the year that Freddie Kitchens was there. Really good dude. Got to know him a little bit. Watch for Monken maybe here on the offensive side. Like, that's the type of guy that I think Ryan would be excited about is somebody like that.
You've heard a lot of people mentioning Brian Daboll too here. Don't know if there's any truth to that, but a lot of people bringing his name up.
Yeah, I think that there is I think Ryan wants an NFL experienced guy. I think that's what he's trying to get done up there. So I think Monken would make all the, I mean, that would be something you'd be pretty excited about. Todd's a genius. So that would be really exciting if that was the way that thing all shook out. Speaking of the NFL coaching carousel, it got pretty packed yesterday. We'll try to make sense of the openings. There are now six of them. Which one is best? Which one is worst? And one common theme that is kind of there in most of them. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
At Bev's R Us,
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
Would you enjoy?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
9 was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
This is
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew, so here we go. First day on the job. We've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go!
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Periods of drizzle with scattered showers developing this afternoon. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy. It'll be breezy and mild with highs in the low 50s. For tonight, cloudy and breezy overnight with lows into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, we do start off cloudy with more sunshine throughout the day and daytime highs in the upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. We'll get smarter on the Bengals side of thing in about 11 minutes from now. Ben Baby ESPN on the offseason plan and the season that was in Cincinnati. We'll get into the Brown side of things coming up specifically at 11:20 here. We may do a little bow on Browns. You guys can we'll have a press conference and you guys can ask me questions about the plan up there. So we'll have a little fun with that coming up. Bake just gets a big smile. Gonna love that.
Oh, it just got me thinking about Jimmy Haslam yesterday and how much I just want to just flamethrow everything he said.
Whoa. Almost had to dump himself. There are self-dump.
So angry.
There were six NFL head coaching changes that were made after the season and during this season. The NFL, Tennessee and New York happened in the season. Arizona, Vegas, Cleveland, and Atlanta happened after the season. A total of six NFL openings. The common denominator in four of these six is the general manager. In five of these six is the general manager remains. So Atlanta is the only place where there is a regime change in totality. It's the only place where the general manager Fontenot and the head coach Raheem Morris were all fired. Everywhere else, the general managers kept their jobs and the head coaches did not. Of the jobs that are available, Arizona, Vegas, Cleveland, New York, Tennessee, and Atlanta, which one is most attractive would be depending on what you're looking for in a job. I think every one of these jobs have things that you would like. I think the most difficult one that's out there based on where they are from a roster standpoint and historically how that ownership has taken care of things is probably Arizona. Arizona has a massive decision to make, although it seems like they already made it on Kyler Murray. So they have to find a way to pivot onto another quarterback. And Arizona to me feels like the biggest reset. They have a star in McBride at tight end. They've got some weapons. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked with the route man out there the way that certainly all of us thought. Some of that could be quarterback play, but also he has not played to the level that we thought. So I think that one is the one that I have the most question marks about in terms of what you're signing up for is probably Arizona. I think Vegas is really interesting, but Vegas is picking number one overall. So if you like Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza, you're going to get one of those guys to quarterback the Las Vegas Raiders. And you got Ashton Jeanty, who's already there. Max Crosby is there, but not really happy about how all of the things transpired, but it sounds like he's going to be there. So that Vegas operation, because you're picking number one, I think there's a little bit of intrigue in that. The New York Giants situation, if you love Jackson Dart in the process last year, then you sprint to this. Iconic franchise, massive appeal in terms of the brand and people wanting to play there and being willing to pay there. Star power, I think, in the making with Malik Nabers. Abdul Carter came along as the season went along, needs to grow up a little bit, but came along as the season went along. And you got, if Scadaboo comes back to what he was, and then you have Dart. And if you like Dart, then that Giants spot is a nice one. Tennessee's just going to come down to, do you like Cam Ward? To me, if Kevin Stefanski, and I think there were reports that Kevin Stefanski is going to interview in Tennessee, we know that the Browns like Cam Ward the best of all of the quarterbacks, and they like Dylan second. That was last year in the process. So if you loved Cam Ward and you're Kevin Stefanski, you loved him in the process, and they come for you and they offer you that job, that's one that would be very intriguing because you have the young franchise quarterback to work with. But that's what you're signing up for. Atlanta's the only one that's like ready-made to me. Atlanta's the only one where either you roll with Cousins, and I'm guessing the new coach will have this opportunity to do whatever he wants at quarterback. No one's going to take the job unless you can. You can either roll with Cousins and play the way they played the last month of the season, or if you like Penix, you can go back to that, and they do have talent. They have talent. They had a really good draft last year on the defensive side. They've got some weapons on the offensive side and one of the best weapons in the league in Bijan Robinson. So that job is the one that's the most ready-made of the six that are available. The Cleveland job is going to be fascinating because the question is, if you're the head coach that's being interviewed by Cleveland, is, and Andrew Berry talked about this yesterday, he said the new coach isn't tied to any of the quarterbacks in the building, where they're not tied to Shadur or they're not tied to Deshaun. Well, those guys are going to be there. So you're going to have to deal with that. So how do you navigate all of that with a front office that remains in place? That will be the challenge for that job, is seeing eye to eye with the front office that remains in place, which is why when I'm thinking about the Browns hire, and Jimmy Haslam said this yesterday, and we can talk about this later at 11:22, they really would like to keep that defensive staff in place. So look for folks who worked with Andrew Berry in Indianapolis, or the 1 year he was in Philly, or have ties to that tree, or people who have ties to Jim Schwartz. Those are the folks that I would think about if I were thinking about handicapping the Cleveland situation. But you have obviously an elite defense, and so when you don't have to worry about one side of the ball, that's pretty good. If you draft weapons, and you're going to need some offensive line help as well, and then it really just comes down to quarterback for them in terms of what the plan is going to be there. But that's kind of the handicap of the six jobs that are open, and it's kind of in the eye of the beholder a little bit what you're looking for.
If with the Browns and the Falcons, you're telling the head coaching candidate, we have the quarterbacks on the roster, but you're not handcuffed to them, you can certainly try to bring in your own guy out of free agency. I know with the Browns, you've got Watson at least through this upcoming regular season. Like come January 1 of 2027, I think you can be done with him, his presence in the building. Then I think that becomes a situation, especially with both divisions, where you don't have to come in and win a bunch of games right away. You can be competitive through the month of December in the NFC South and in the AFC North. I mean, both of those for their respective conferences were the fattest kid running the race. Like the division champion of each, you're like, what's this going to be next year?
Yeah.
So I think both have very advantageous positions and both are appealing from the talent that's on the roster and the non-commitment. Like with the Giants, I don't know how John Mara still has a job. But it's like, do you like Jackson Dart? And I feel like there
He owns the team. Oh, are no, you not, talking about Joe Schoen?
Joe Schoen, thank you. Because you can't fire the owner.
Can't fire the owner.
I've gone through with this with my team.
If we're going to fire owners, let's
go. I know. I got Baker in the back of my head going, fire that owner.
Turtle soup south.
But Joe Schoen, like, fine, if he's still going
to
stay.
I can't believe that he gets to stay. Do you remember when when Mara is in the office
with him? No one's ever
going to
forget that.
How in the hell is he still employed? I guess because of Dart, like the owner likes Dart and Scadaboo. But holy smokes.
Apparently a good draft and a kicker can save a GM's job. So,
you know what the other thing that did happen on that from Hard Knocks? I wonder if he gets any credit. And I don't know if it's Shane or Schoen. It's the general manager. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but the other thing that I wonder if he gets some credit. Do you guys remember how hard in that same episode, how hard he tried to get the pick from New England to get Drake May?
I mean,
he was talking to Elliot Wolf, was in Cleveland with John Dorsey, who was the general manager of New England. He was on the phone with him. He was trying doggedly to move into three so that they could draft Drake May with the Giants. So maybe that, because that's on the record too, you forget about the other part. I don't know.
Yeah, the Jackson Dart thing.
I have to like him.
I would not imagine a guy like Stefanski's too thrilled about that, but talent-wise, everything else seems pretty set.
Yeah, when I was thinking about that with Stefanski and the Giants, and you were talking about if you believe in Jackson Dart, Dart seems a lot like Baker Mayfield, and Stefanski didn't want that, didn't like that, so I couldn't see Jackson Dart and Kevin Stefanski meshing very well. But you talked about the Falcons. I think that Giants situation is pretty good too, except for maybe you don't trust ownership in the GM, but I feel like that Giants roster,
it's good.
They've got some talented players. They've got some guys on defense. You've got Malik Nabers. If you believe in Cam Scadaboo, but Scadaboo and Tyrone Tracy seem to be a nice 1-2 punch in that backfield, and Scadaboo and Dart, it seems like, give them a little bit of a mindset, like we're going to do it no matter what. And I know they've got some pieces on that offensive line. Andrew Thomas is very good at the left tackle position. So the Giants, if they're at the top of the draft and they can get another playmaker maybe to sit opposite of Malik Nabers there, and the Giants might have something going if they get the right head coach in there.
For sure. Do you like Dart? And the crazy thing is, everybody who's up for these jobs would have just done the homework on these guys last year in regard to Dart and Cam Ward. They know exactly what those guys are all about. No changes in Cincinnati. Ben Baby on Why in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
For home appraisal, after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hey, what's up? It's T.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to fund a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the Fan.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Always a thrill when we get to have this fine gentleman on, one of the best in the business on the Bengals beat, certainly, and at ESPN, our good buddy Ben Baby joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. This is probably as direct, and I'm curious where you go with this, but who is accountable down there for what's happened the last couple of years?
That's a great question, Bo, because I'm starting to wonder that as well. You know, I think Zach Taylor has owned up to as much as he can, but I think one of the reasons why I believe we're getting Duke Tobin on Friday, the Bengals de facto general manager, is because I think there needs to be greater accountability above, you know, the coaching staff to say, why is this roster not good enough? You look at how they've drafted in recent years, how they went and attacked free agency in recent years. I think there's a lot that Tobin, given his say and how this roster is built, should have to answer for. And I think it's not really us as media people, it's really the fans who are really upset about this. I think media have, for years, would have liked to have asked for Tobin at the end of the season. We would love to have Tobin after the trade deadline. You know, that is not how this team operates. But I think because the fan backlash has been so high for how bad the season went, you know, I think that has to play a big factor into why Tobin will speak. But I'll be honest, Bo, I think there's still probably greater accountability that needs to be had above him for how they go about, you know, building this thing around Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
When you hear from Bengals fans, or even you guys have such a great beat down there, a lot of great people on it, and you, when you guys talk amongst yourself, when you talk to fans and you say, here is this Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase window that they're in. And now it's been a little while since they've been to the Super Bowl, but we all keep saying if they get there, they're dangerous and all of those things, but they've got to get in that dance, and it's now been a while, and they got injuries, all these things. When you're in the middle of it, what is it that fans want changed? And then from your perspective, what is the thing that consistently holds the Bengals back? And is there a concern that this window is going to get missed?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of things that you just kind of unpack there. I think when you look at it, I think the fans never really bought into Zach Taylor from the beginning, even when they were good. And I think that's been a problem over the years when you have the, you know, 6 wins in 2 years. And then you go to the Super Bowl, I think fans are wondering, okay, well, how much has Zach played a role in this? And Zach deserves probably more credit than he gets for how good they were then and really how much they've been able to buoy things over the years. Now, that being said, one of the issues over the last 2 seasons, along with how bad the defense has been at times, has been the Bengals' inability to close out games. They just do not have that instinct that they had years ago. They've let games slip through their fingers that they really shouldn't. You can go back to 2024. I'm getting my years mixed up now. But the Bengals led Baltimore in the second half twice and were unable to close out those games. They couldn't close out the Jets, couldn't close out the Bears, couldn't close out the Browns. At some point, how is getting into the playoffs going to fix any of those issues? You have to be able to do that. I think that is something that hasn't really been, you talk about accountability. I don't know if anyone's given me a good answer as to why they can't close out games. And when we asked Ja'Marr Chase, he doesn't really have one for us either. And he says, you've got to ask Zach, because I don't think he wants to say what exactly is going on. I think that's something they really have to figure out.
One of the things, and you've covered Joe for a long time, and we've known him around here for a long time. He had a different tone to him, didn't he, Ben? Last few availabilities this season, he's maybe seeing the sands through the hourglass as well. What's kind of your read on the consistency of his availabilities over the last month or so of the season? And will he? What can he do to hold accountability here, if anything?
Yeah. You know, again, these are all just great questions, by the way. I feel like I'm saying that all the time, but they legitimately, these are the questions that need to be asked. And Bo, I'm going to be honest with you. I think nobody in the country, media-wise, talks to Joe as much as I do. We have a good rapport outside of his press conferences as well. And that's covering him for every year he's been in the league, kind of putting that effort in. I think that's, and because, you know, when he says stuff like that, I try to get as much information as I can that's beyond what he says in these pressers and talking to folks around him. And I think that there is, for a couple of years now, I think there has been a feeling of, I need to get back to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I can't really have a career where I go early, maybe like Dan Marino, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just doesn't happen again. I think Joe is very cognizant of that. This year, and I don't know if anybody fully ever wanted to admit it, but something did feel to be different after the toe injury. He was more reflective, and it seems like there is something that happened with him that he realized, and this is kind of why I asked him about it after the game to a degree. I think that there is a separation now that he's trying to have of football and how it intertwines with his personal life. Because as I said after the game, says, you know, I'm not having the joy that I used to have.
Right.
We're not winning like we used to. So I don't then want to turn around and be miserable because, you know, this isn't working out the way we need to. And obviously it needs to happen. But I think he's coming to the realization, even, you know, not just results, but injury wise as well. If football doesn't go his way, I don't think he wants it impacting the rest of his life in a negative manner, which is, it is really interesting. But I've always known Joe to be an incredibly high competitor, and a guy who, regardless of whether the team is good or not, I think it's very rare to find somebody, and I told him this a couple years ago, very rare to see somebody attack their job every day, day in, day out, like he does, regardless of whatever the profession is.
Man, yeah, I'm sure for Bengals fans, like when they hear him up there and you get those answers that you get out of him, I'm sure there's deja vu to Carson Palmer, like just being like, I can't do this here anymore. Like I don't know that, I'm not trying to say that that's where Joe's at now, but I just have never heard him talk like that. And so I think that's a really good, you know, the way you described that of trying to separate the personal from the football. So if you are, and you're going to get Duke Tobin on Friday, I cannot wait. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, the only time he ever talks is at the Combine and usually at the Turtle Soup Luncheon, right? Is that the only two times he talks throughout the year?
Yeah, that's usually his Combine. He does Senior Bowl, but none of us go down to Mobile.
Right.
Despite Alabama being lovely this time of year, you know. So it really is the Combine and Senior Bowl, Combine, Senior Bowl, and then, you know, mock turtle soup right before the season starts, because that's kind of what they're mandated by the league. And the Bengals have never really went above and beyond giving a little bit more transparency as to what exactly is going on with the franchise. You know, Katie Blackburn, who is really the one who calls most of the shots. You know, Mike Brown's still involved on a day-to-day, but Katie really is the one who signs off on the biggest contracts, negotiates the biggest contracts. She only speaks at owners' meetings. She doesn't do she doesn't do local media at all. You have to go to wherever owners is to be able to get Katie. And I think that, you know, that's what makes this interesting, because we are going to get Duke so fresh after the season.
Yeah, and so one of the questions I'm sure one of you guys down there will ask is, okay, what's the plan? How do you make sure this doesn't happen again? And he's going to give some vague answer. But my question for you is, what should be the plan this offseason? How do you take this team and get back to contending when it's been a minute now? And to me, it looks like there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah, I think there's two big factors here. And obviously, I think it's notable that they're offering Duke up to the media, you know, in a way that's not like it's a sacrifice, but they are going to give him to us. But they are also, you know, Mike Brown made it a point to include Duke in his, you know, statement yesterday of support, because fans have been just as upset with Duke Tobin as they've been with Zach Taylor. And I think that's very warranted. The two big things is, number one, obviously, the defense has to be better. And I think that the fact that Joe said we need championship caliber players, you know, whether we develop them or they are brought in, that's really big. And Jamar Chase said, listen, I don't even need to state what needs to be fixed is so obvious. I'm not trying to state it. I think that goes into it. So, you know, getting the difference makers that they've had previously on defense, and, you know, they hit some home runs, you know, in 21 and 22, when you look at getting Trey Hendrickson, who was a plan B in that draft, or in that free agency class. They wanted Carl Lawson. They didn't want to give Carl the guaranteed money in the second year that he was looking for. They went Trey. That worked out. Probably the best free agent signing of the decade by any team. You know, they've got Chidobe Awuzie, Mike Hilton, Von Bell. Like, they need that style of free agency, and they just have not hit on enough guys over the years. And those aren't expensive guys. They just haven't hit on who they've needed to. But secondly, Bo, what does not get talked about enough, this offense isn't good enough. When you're paying Joe Burrow, you're paying for Jamar Chase, paying for T. Higgins, you have the best offensive line that Joe Burrow's ever had. You have Chase Brown, who actually led the team in scrimmage yards. You should be one of the best offenses pound for pound. Well, I think the Browns game, as irrelevant and meaningless as it was for the standings, the fact that Myles Garrett could go in and derail that expensive of a passing attack and really limit them from being effective. I know Joe Burrow had 230 yards or whatever it was, three touchdowns. That's great. But you look at it, and the Bengals should be able to, especially for a team that's about to fire their head coach, and with Shador Sanders, a rookie starting at quarterback, you should be able to go in and blow that kind of team out. And Miles was able to negate that. I understand he's probably the best player in football at his position, but this offense needs to be better for sure.
Dude, and I'll get you out of here on this one. It's an observation, but I'm sure you were thinking this. There was no Denzel Ward. There was no Tyson Campbell. Like, I know Miles is Miles. I'm very well aware of it, but I couldn't believe they couldn't just throw it up and down the field.
You are not the only one. I think that was the consensus, and I think people reamed me online for that. They said, oh, you know, what are you talking about? I said, well, what's going on here? And I think that that should be, if there's the biggest criticism of Zach Taylor, I think it's because he's the offensive play caller, because he's the offensive coach. I understand it looks good at times. This should not be a top five offense. This needs to be a top three and above offense, because there's no coach in the NFL who has these kind of resources and does well. Like, you know, you look at what, you know, the other great play callers, offensive minds, you look at Ben Johnson, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. Who are Sean McVay's best receivers? What's Ben Johnson working with that receiver? You've got Jamar Chase, who's the number one receiver in football. And Joe Burrow, when he's playing well, which is a key distinction here, when he's playing well, is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And T. Higgins, who I think would be a number one receiver on, you know, X amount of teams. Insane. That needs to be the question. I think when you're talking about criticism and coaching and things of that nature, finding a way to get that offense better is paramount this offseason.
One of my favorite things about listening to Bengals press conferences is for listening for your questions, buddy. So I look forward to it on Friday with Duke. As always, go do the good fight. And thank you so much for your time, pal.
Hey, thanks, Bo. Always a pleasure.
All right, there he goes. Ben Baby covers the Bengals at ESPN. You want to know what's going on down there? There it is. That's where they're at. And you can understand Bengal fan frustration on all of it. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. 72-69, the final. Nebraska defeats Ohio State. I know there had to be some things you liked about how your team fought back, but not getting the final goal certainly has to be a big disappointment.
Yeah, it's disappointing because, you know, we didn't, again, you know, in the first half, and that's what we talked about post-game, is there's things that we can control, and we have to play with the same mentality and urgency, you know, when we're trailing. And we're a different team for some reason when that happens. And I gotta figure out what, you know, how to get us playing that mentality. We need some guys to step up. We need some guys to step up and help lead that charge. So disappointed in a result. You know, this is a team that fights. We've talked about that, right? Like we knew we were going to fight and give it all we got, but we just, you know, disappointed we didn't get the result we wanted.
All right. We'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
72-69, the final. The Cornhuskers defeat Ohio State.
Coach, there's so many little things that adds up. I thought that possession right around that three-minute mark, your team had played some really good defense. You got pretty much the stop you wanted, at least we thought. And then some way, somehow, Nebraska gets the loose ball and knocks down a three.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something we stress, finishing plays in our program. And I thought, listen, give Nebraska credit. They were better in that situation about three times tonight than we were. And it's unacceptable. That's something we take a great deal of pride in, being the team that, when that 50-50 ball is there, is being the team that gets it, dominating, you know, the hustle plays throughout the game. And they got two more than we did. And it ended up, you know, being the difference in the game. You can look at, obviously, the way we finished in the paint and struggled there in the first half. Some missed free throw opportunities, certainly. But I think, you know, them getting the extra offensive rebounds or the 50-50 balls was ultimately the difference.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
When it comes to all-wheel drive vehicles, nobody gives you more to choose from than Toyota, including the best-selling Camry and the best-selling RAV4.
You've also got Toyota's five brothers, which include the best-selling Tacoma and the legendary new 4Runner.
All-wheel drive gives you the traction you need for confident driving on any road, in any weather.
With 25 different all-wheel drive choices, there's only one thing you need to know.
Nobody knows all-wheel drive better than Toyota. Let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
You still thinking?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Tuesday edition. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
LSU's administration is allowing Ole Miss offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss and running backs coach Kevin Smith to coach in Thursday's Fiesta Bowl semifinal against Miami. Sources said that Weiss and Smith, who are following former Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin to LSU, flew to Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Monday for recruiting visits, then returned to Oxford, Mississippi later in the evening. The Rebels are scheduled to fly to Arizona on Tuesday for Thursday's game. Former Ole Miss and current LSU tight ends coach and co-offensive coordinator Joe Cox and receivings coach slash passion game coordinator George McDonald aren't expected to coach in the Fiesta Bowl. They will remain in Baton Rouge. Thing or not a thing?
I don't want you guys to think about it. I just want you to answer without thinking. If you were Lane Kiffin, would you let them do this?
Yes.
No, I don't think either parties I would let them do this. It's just
I get it from the Ole Miss side of things, because Ole Miss is one win from playing for a national championship, and they just beat Georgia, and this is the greatest season ever, and their offense is controlled, was controlled by Kiffin and Weiss, and so now is controlled by Weiss, which this, the reason I ask the question is, I think if I'm Lane Kiffin, and I've made this decision, this is the decision he made, I would not let them do this. Number one, they are helping a team that is now your rival. I understand you have connections there and all of that. You're helping a team that is now your rival accomplish something that has never been accomplished before. You are going to be in a street fight for players with that university over the next few years, because while Ole Miss is not LSU in terms of what it can accomplish, they have been active in the portal for the last 4 or 5 years, and I'm guessing this will only make them even more active in the portal, as they're a consistent threat. So now you are being undermined by, like, clearly Charlie Weiss can call plays. Like, what is he calling plays for? Like, the whole thing, I just don't know what the win is for Kiffin other than this idea that maybe it looks him like a halfway decent guy, but I think that boat's already sailed anyway.
I think there's a million reasons. Because if they're able to win the national championship, or I think if they even reach, no, it's they win the national championship, Lane Kiffin gets $1 million from an Ole Miss bonus paid to him by LSU. And I think he can go see how good of a play caller Charlie Weiss is. Come play for me and be in that offense.
Yeah, I don't see the win for him. I'm getting it. You got the $1 million. We got 90 from LSU. Like, what's an extra million at this point? Yeah.
I think it was Trinidad Chambliss is going to return pending an approval of his medical red shirt. Tom Brady was on the Big Noon Conversation with Joel Klatt and was asked if he would have stayed at Michigan if he played in today's NIL transfer portal world.
Based on what my experience was, I wouldn't want it any other way. My college experience was very challenging. It was very competitive. The lessons I learned in college, certainly about competition, those traits transformed my life as a professional. I was ready to compete against anybody because the competition in college toughened me up so much that I had a self-belief and self-confidence in myself that whatever was I was faced, I could overcome that. And I think if we take that away from a young student athlete to say, you know what, I know it's tough to compete, but what we're going to do, before you have to compete, we're actually going to put you somewhere else so that you don't have to compete. That is absolutely the wrong thing to do to a young child. You're going to have to go through hard things in your life. You're going to have to make tough choices. And the value isn't always about the last dollar. So I think all these things that are happening in college sports, we're prioritizing the wrong things. We're valuing the wrong things. And I'm not saying it's not important. It's one of 10 things that are important.
Yeah.
And certainly to me, it's not the most important. So when kids do go through that the right way, they're actually learning the right values.
Yeah.
And when you have the right values in life, that's going to sustain you as you move on through the rest of your life.
Music on that there is kind of wild. Also, last night from Michigan, Bryce Underwood announced on Twitter, LFG147.
Yeah,
that he will be staying with the Wolverines. Thing or not a thing?
The music on that was crazy. I don't know why that was there. It was like a Twilight Zone kind of riff behind Brady as he was answering that. Everything Tom Brady said is 100% right. And it's just like every parent out there who has a kid between the eight when they first decide if they're going to get him a phone or not. There isn't a single parent who gets a kid a phone who says, yeah, they're going to be better for this. We all know it's going to be worse. But nobody has the stones to say, we're going to be the ones that make little Timmy not have something because all of his friends do. And nobody wants to be that parent. And nobody wants to put their kid in that tough spot. So all of them have phones. They're all worse off for it. Same thing here. We're all worse off for a system that does not reward stick-to-itiveness, that does not hold people accountable, both on the coaching side of it and the athlete side of it, right? I mean, the same rules that apply to athletes should apply to coaches in college football. That's the way that this thing should all be ran, and it's not. But who's going to stop it? To this point, I haven't heard anybody. A lot of people can give you great ideas, but I haven't seen anybody like actually put a foot down and try and stop any of this.
And, Bo, to your point with the phone and the kids, a lot of times you go ahead and get them the phone out of convenience for yourself. So you can get a hold of them and you know where they're at or what they're doing or when you need to talk to them. It's super easy. And what Brady says here is absolutely 100% right. But it's super easy to be outside of the situation or be someone like Brady who has made all of his money now and say that. But you put it in a kid situation here where their family doesn't have much, maybe, and they're coming from a bad spot, and you put $1 million or $2 million in front of their face, it's hard not to take that because that is life-changing money, and that can help them out. So is it the best decision for them in the future? Maybe not. But how many times do we make decisions in life for our future? We usually make them based on the right now a lot of times, unfortunately.
Yeah, it'd be nice if somebody like Brady, he's got his hands in a million things, but like all these people have these opinions on this, do something about it. Joel Klatt, do something about it. Do the right thing. I mean, who's willing to do the right thing? All these people want to talk about it, but nobody wants to put their money where their mouth is and do the right thing and put guardrails on the sport. We've been talking about it for 6 years around here. Well, Blitz the NFL coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight says man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Men, it's the new year.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. College football's transfer portal window is open through next Friday. The Buckeyes have signed three players from the portal, including UCF defensive tackle John Walker. The 6'4", 324-pound Walker has two seasons of eligibility remaining. Ohio State's also set to host Penn State defensive end and Ohio native Chaz Coleman on Tuesday. In the NFL, the Cowboys dismissed defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus earlier today. Dallas had the league's 30th-ranked defense this season. Only Cincinnati and Washington were worse. In college basketball, Ohio State lost to Nebraska 72-69 last night at the Shot. Buckeyes fall to 10-4 on the season, 2-2 in conference play. They'll play at Oregon Thursday night at 10:30. The 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad is at Illinois tomorrow night at 7. And the Blue Jackets begin a four-game road trip Tuesday. CBJ skate in San Jose against the Sharks at 10. Hear that game on The Fan with coverage at 9:30. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. BMI has been voted best local credit union for the past 8 years.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Dalton Wasserman going to join us coming up at 11:30 from PFF College. Time now, though, to blitz the NFL. Head to fellas.
Bishop and Friends present NFL Blitz.
Final regular season edition, kids. Let's start with you, Reese. I believe I had that. What did you have?
Well, I was 8-8 this week, picking games against the spread. 128-128 on the season, which is amazing. So I had
straight up even.
I didn't have a lot. I had that Jacksonville was going to make a statement, though, in the final week of the season. I'm not sure how exactly their path to the top seed in the AFC was going to play out, if even they had a chance. I think it was just for Denver win. And the top seed is yours. But I think the Jaguars are a really good team, and I think they're going to be a tough out.
So for me, I believe I had, way back at the beginning of the year, that the Steelers would win the AFC North. I don't know why I picked that way. I just know that they are the model of consistency, and I know their fans are not happy with their lack of playoff success here recently, but that organization just... they always win. They always finish over 500. Somehow they're always there. And somehow with Baltimore and Cincinnati, there are always questions that you don't know. But the one thing you do know is the Steelers will have a winning record at the end of the year.
It's just what they do. It's crazy, but it is exactly what they do. I believe I had that the final week of the NFC South would go exactly as it did, and I think I said so when we made the picks on Thursday, that in fact, Tampa Bay would beat Carolina, and I would have to watch a otherwise meaningless bad football game that I had no other interest in, and that following that up on Sunday, I'd be forced to pay attention to another game that I have absolutely no interest in, and that was Atlanta and New Orleans. And sure enough, it went exactly that way. Tampa Bay beat Carolina. Atlanta beat New Orleans. Tampa Bay is your NFC South champ. NBC cashes in bigly. I still haven't exactly explained to him how that's all going to take place, but nevertheless, he will be enriched by it. He did send me a text yesterday that at the time that we made the bet, the Carolina Panthers had a 0.8% chance of winning the division, was where it stood at the time we made the bet. So the longest odds possible for young NBC. I did not have that. What did you not have, Reese?
The Browns getting two defensive scores against Cincinnati and doing the Marshawn Lynch touchdown celebration for both. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, they hit it twice, yeah.
I'll stay there with that game. I did not have the Browns beating the Bengals. I was very confident the week before that the Browns would beat the Steelers because that's just something that the Cleveland Browns do. But I did not have that same result happening with the Bengals, and this may be my favorite stat of the year still. Halftime, the Browns, 40 yards, total offense, beating the Bengals.
Yeah. crazy. I asked that question to Ben Baby earlier about it. Just was strange how they didn't attack the two corners. I thought that was pretty wild. I did not have, even though I said it would go the way that it was going to go, because it just made no sense, I did not have Seattle beating San Francisco. When we made the picks, I said, this makes no sense. Why is Seattle favored over San Francisco at home? Doesn't make any sense. This is, Vegas knows something. Somebody knows something. And then I still picked San Francisco like an idiot. It was always Seattle. There was a reason Seattle was favored. They knew something. And that's the way that it played out. I did not have Seattle winning the NFC West this year. Player who impressed. Reese, who impressed?
Riley Leonard, Colts quarterback. I don't think it was, you know, necessarily... It was a good performance against a defense that I think is really good. 21 of 34, 270, and two touchdowns.
Heck yeah, it is. With a defense that had something to play for.
Yeah.
By the way, why did they play him? Why did they bring in Phillip Rivers? What was the point?
They were they were battling right then for a spot, right? They were like 8-1.
Right, but why couldn't Riley Leonard have done that? Are you sure he couldn't have played better than Rivers?
I think at the time they brought Rivers in, Leonard was banged up.
Oh, you're right. You're right, babe. So he was. That's a good job.
He wasn't playing.
Yes.
And then Rivers did well, and they just left him. I'm going to go with a backup quarterback here as well. I'm going to go with Mitchell Trubisky. I know it was against the Jets, but he was lights out for the Bills in their final game at Highmark Stadium. 22 of 29, 259, and four touchdowns. This is a guy that was drafted number two overall in the NFL draft. That's not his fault that that happened. He's had a pretty good career here, though, and he's fit in nicely as Josh Allen's backup.
I wonder if he'll get that next chance, like the one Darnold got, the one that I think a lot of people, Mac Jones, will get. A lot of people think Malik Willis is going to get that as well. Interesting to see if Trubisky gets that as well, because when he has played for Buffalo, he has played pretty well. I'm going to go Miles here. He gets the sack record against Burrow in the final game of the season. Having watched every play that he's made since 2018, it is remarkable how much attention NFL offenses give to him. And now that you've seen it over the last 3 weeks, certainly Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati, the lengths that teams go to make sure that he doesn't impact games ends up impacting games. It's just remarkable what he is. And I agree with what Ben said. I think he's the best pure football player in all of football. Not the most important, because that's obviously a quarterback, but he's the best player in football at the moment, which is a pretty cool thing. Player who disappointed. Reese?
Tyler Loop, Ravens kicker. And then all the internet trolls who flocked to Tyler Loop's social media and told him how they felt about him. Mm-hmm. That it's brutal out there for a kicker, but make your kicks, man. You're going to the playoffs.
Right.
For me, it's Caleb Williams, and it didn't end up mattering because the Philadelphia Eagles lost, so the Bears still walk away with the 2 seed in the NFC, but... That was a Detroit team that didn't really have a ton to play for, and for them to go 0-for in those first 3 quarters on offense, they scored some points late as they just went all out trying to win the game. I think that was kind of like a little playoff primer for Caleb Williams, and I just don't think it could have been a lot better.
As someone who grew up a Bears fan, I would be terrified of playing the Packers in Chicago. In the playoffs. Absolutely terrified. I'm going to go Lamar here. Not that he was actually pretty good in the game, but this was their year. And he got hurt, and they got to the terrible start. This was their year to win the NFC. Everybody thought so at the beginning of the year. The roster was there. The talent was there. And they're not even in the postseason, and that just sucks. Because they should be. And they should be one of the teams that are competing. And you do wonder if this opportunity with Lamar there has been missed. That he's never even going to play in a Super Bowl when he's the quarterback of the Ravens, which seemed impossible a couple of years ago. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week. Who do you got, Reese?
Seattle's Mike McDonald.
Stud.
Should not have picked against them. I apologize for doing so. But, yeah, they're really, really good. And Jackson Smith and Jigba is probably the offensive player of the year.
Oh, yeah. He'll win it. Yeah.
I had Mike McDonald down as well, but let me switch. Let me go a little twofer here. Let me go Liam Cohen and Mike Vrabel. The Jaguars and the Patriots, the only teams in NFL history besides the 1999 Colts that have won 13 games in a season after losing 13 the season before.
Wow. That's wild. Two different ways. I had those two as well with McDonald and Cohen written down. I also think D'Amico Ryans deserves a lot of credit for how he flipped it and put got Houston back into the mix and a very dangerous team to play at Pittsburgh in the first round this weekend. Top three teams right now. Reese, who are your top three?
I got Seattle, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Denver Broncos, I think for the first time this season.
I have Seattle, I have Denver, and I have New England.
I've got Seattle, Denver, and the Rams would be my three as well. Now, this is going to be an interesting one. Your Super Bowl right now, because we have a bracket now. Now, I understand the bracket doesn't stay locked in, but now you know who's in. And as you look at their past, consider that as your Super Bowl right now. Who do you got, Reese?
I got Seattle, New England.
Okay.
I've got Seattle, and I've got Buffalo, because if Josh Allen can't do it this year, I don't know if he's ever doing it.
And the crazy thing is, this is the worst team he maybe has played on up there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the worst operation
but
that they've
had.
But
this is the best James Cook he's had.
It's the best James Cook he's had, and it's the best chance he's had, and that he's the old head here. He's the guy who's been through the battles. Now, they haven't won a road playoff game since the 90s, so they're going to have to overcome some of that. Go ahead.
Ben. Just to go along with that point, this is the first year since they've started seeding the playoffs in the NFL that the four quarterbacks that are the top two seeds have never won a playoff game.
Jeez. All of that to be said, I really like the Rams' path. Now, I know I've liked them all year. I know that they lost to Carolina about a month ago, which was brutal. But to get Carolina, and then however that path goes, Devontae Adams coming back, the defense is going to travel. I like the Rams coming out of the NFC, and I'll go Buffalo as well for the similar reason as you. I just, it's hard for me to envision a scenario where those top three seeds in the AFC can get it. I mean, just usually you have to pay some dues. If Drake May gets New England a Super Bowl, then that's like the Mahomes path. Year two to the Super Bowl. Like, that's that type of stuff. So that would be heavy stuff if he can get that done and something worth watching. I'll tell you what, we'll have time as the week goes along. This is going to be fun in the NFL because it's wide open. Never been this wide open. Never been this wide open. We'll do a little Browns Q&A and also some reporting being done at The Athletic on the type of money that is being handed out in college football will blow your mind. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
From military.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dog's Ink puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes hit the road for a Big Ten battle with Oregon.
Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 9:30 with the tip at 10:30.
Every game, every season. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Do you hate Hallmark?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. People warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Hello, it's...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
If another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets Hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops has really given me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Periods of drizzle with scattered showers developing this afternoon. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy. It'll be breezy and mild with highs in the low 50s. For tonight, cloudy and breezy overnight with lows into the upper 30s. And then for Wednesday, we do start off cloudy with more sunshine throughout the day and daytime highs in the upper 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Look, it's the portal has been open for 4 days. It's been, there's been some quick, this is typically the way it works. It's a little bit like NFL free agency minus the rules, in that there's typically a big swath of movement that happens right away. Then the market will settle and then you start to get real answers that are out there. And we saw that. We saw Indiana be ultra aggressive, in terms of right away in the portal. Texas Tech, obviously very aggressive in the portal. Kentucky seems to be very aggressive in the portal in terms of getting guys to sign on the line, which is dotted right away. Everybody else. And the everybody else is some of the biggest ones, but it's places like Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia and Texas. They all have guys in the portal. They're all trying to figure out who they can keep and bring back to campus. They're trying to make it all work, all the while trying to figure out what to pay folks. And The Athletic did a story, about what they are hearing in terms of the market that is out there in free agency. It's some fascinating stuff. So, quarterbacks in the portal, and the market here continues to go up and up and up according to their reporting, between $1 million and $4 million. But the reporting that I've seen on Sorsby, the kid who from Cincinnati, was well over five is what I had heard on that.
Yeah, that's what I heard, was five for Sorsby.
Yeah, so there could be some others that start to get to that, like Levitt in the portal now, who was at Kentucky. Isn't he going to LSU too? Isn't he going to do a visit at LSU? So, like, what would his number be? And who knows? Kenny Dallingham not get money to pay him? He got money for that staff. How did he not have money to pay him?
Well,
would those two be linked?
There's a lot of reporting on that saying that he was kind of having conversations with Kentucky before the year might have even been over. And there's a lot of rumors with there, like he was leaving regardless.
I mean, that there's no rules, so why wouldn't guys see what they're worth around the country? Offensive tackles, D linemen can be a premium as well. Tackles upwards of 1.3, starting around mid six figures. Edge rushers upwards of 2 million. Interior defensive linemen from 500,000 to 1.5. It's so crazy to read this stuff out loud. Running backs, it's just like the NFL. in terms of who they're deciding to pay. Quarterbacks, edges, receivers are going to get the most money. Receivers between $5 and $1 million. I think that's a lot more than that if you're at an elite level. Running backs between $400,000 and $900,000, and so forth and so on. That's kind of the way that it's all working. Power Four program football rosters budgets can be between $13 and $30 million. Most G5 schools range between $1 and $10 million in 2025. The 13 to 30 number, though, like that number that was negotiated in terms of the rev share, that's the minimum requirement. And that is not NIL.
Yeah,
NIL is on top of that.
A lot of people talking about the cap and spending over or under the cap. There is no cap. There's how much a school can allot from the revenue share agreement. But the numbers, whatever you can muster, there is no... And none of these numbers you see are going to be accurate to the dollar and cent, because there's no real transparency in this process. Sorsby, $5 million. What's that worth? Like, what's that in? Is he getting $5 million cold hard cash, or is he doing like
great point?
Bo's doing with NBC and getting, you know, maybe $1 million of it in Tesla stock. Like, where's it coming from? Where's it going?
Well, the clearinghouse knows all that. The clearinghouse is making sure that these are all on the up and up, and they're hammering through all these deals right now with all their temps there. And
I asked Joshua Perry when he was in on Friday, when the last time that him or NBC Sports had heard from that College Sports Commission.
Yeah.
He said they had not.
No.
But when you mentioned, like, you talked about the receivers and you're guessing that $1 million, this is just kind of an average range,
sure,
because it says on here safeties $250,000 and $900,000. I'm pretty sure Coy Parrish is going to blow past that $900,000.
Yeah, of course he is. And it's just going to depend on what is a player worth to the university that wants to pay him. What is he worth to you? I mean, this is, and again, this there's some parallels here. This is the European soccer model, where there is no cap. I mean, there's nothing here. You're worth whatever somebody's willing to pay you. If the best player in college football, Jeremiah Smith, were to enter the portal, he's worth whatever somebody wants to pay him. If you have a booster, let's say use him because he's the best and he's not going anywhere, but just use him because he's the best. If there were a booster at Texas who said, I want to see that kid catch passes from Arch Manning, I'm going to pay him $22 million to do so. That can happen.
Who can stop it?
That can happen if somebody decides to do that. And we haven't had it yet. At this point, we haven't had it yet at the quarterback position where a true blue blood quarterback jumped in the portal with years remaining. It'd be like if Julian did, or Arch, like, you know, somebody like that who is on that level. We don't know what that bidding war would look like to this point. And Levitt is probably I thought Levitt would be more coveted than Sorsby, but maybe I didn't watch enough Cincinnati football this year. I don't know. Obviously there's not that strong a feeling on like DJ Legway at Florida after the 2 years that he had down there, because he was the number one quarterback in the country when he came out, and there's not a whole lot of talk about him getting $6 million a year.
By the way, him visiting Florida State, oh boy.
Boy, that's choosing violence. How is FSU? I saw that too. How the heck's FSU going to pay him? Their whole roster's in the portal. Some of it could be just trying to drive up the number, right?
That's what I imagine a lot of these visits are for. When guys say that when it's from the agent that the player they're representing is taking visits on these days.
Yeah.
I got to think they're not interested in five schools or even four schools, but they've got one or two and they want to see how much more they can get from those two schools. And they take these visits for that purpose.
Yeah. One thing on the Buckeye side of things, I think that there are guys, I believe this. I believe that there are guys in the portal that are Buckeyes in the portal that they're working hard to pull back out of it. And you can probably guess who those folks are. I also think that there are probably guys who you think are going to declare for the National Football League who Ohio State is trying hard to try to convince them not to. Because if you have a second or third round grade in the NFL, or even if you're a late one and you can make more money playing one more year of college, that has to be something to consider. I mean, that's got to be part of it. Is that. So I think all of those things are happening. I would say this on the Ohio State front. I wouldn't be too concerned. Not too concerned is too strong of a word. I've taken note of how it's gone. I'm observing, monitoring. Concern is way too strong. They have a plan in place for how they want to do this, and I don't think that they're ever going to be throw the most money at every single issue that you may think the roster has.
So another issue, and I just saw this from Austin Ward about Matt Patricia. He says in an article that was posted about 5 minutes ago, now Ohio State has to enter the sweepstakes to keep him with heavy interest building at the NFL level. And I had wondered, what the trajectory was going to be there, like how many years, he was going to stay here. And if it was successful, we were like one, maybe two. If it was successful, I think over 12 games in the regular season was pretty damn successful. And even in that Big Ten championship game, and even against Miami, he showed what a great defensive play caller he can be. And yeah, I think keeping him, we go to the pie analogy.
Yeah, because in this instance, the pie analogy is apropos. Because
well,
it's
always apropos. I mean, come on.
It's really now, though, because it's all coming from the same pot, right? And to me, like for Patricia, if it's about the money, I don't know how the NFL views him. I would assume favorably, but probably his biggest value right now is still in college, I would think. I mean, he's coordinated Super Bowl defenses. That's a tough one. If you're in Ohio State, can you get in a bidding war to keep him? Probably not. You'd like to.
I think that's the right answer.
I think you would want to keep him, but I'd also kind of think, like, if you're Ohio State, you kind of knew this, right? You kind of knew that this was probably a one-and-done year with him.
I thought
you had to have a succession plan, but maybe they did think it was two.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of transfer portal news, Northwestern kicker just hit the portal. Honorable mention, all Big Ten. 19-21 this year.
Has your attention.
I mean, any kicker has your attention, right? You don't have one on the roster right now.
Even the one who you were saying yesterday before I cut you off because I was just so angry at this whole process to where Ohio State's being bothered by a kicker in the portal, like being bothered by the idea that it can't like recruit and or develop kickers, like the one that committed to Indiana or is committed to Illinois. It's like, no, it's still, you can tamper. Like, let's do this.
He's leaving Illinois, going to Texas A&M.
Tamper.
Tamper away with
it. Do the tampering now.
The Ole Miss kid looked pretty good.
Kid from Montana State nailed an extra point. Let's take him. All right, 2 minutes from now, our buddy Dalton Wasserman, PFF College Football Show with Max Chadwick, will join us on the playoff semifinals, what he thought of Ohio State's approach in the quarterfinal, and how he would build a college football roster now. That's all coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
People warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The Friends are the guests and listeners. Reese and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Everybody, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to head out on that Brian Heating Hooligan Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with our good buddy Dalton Wasserman, PFF College Football Show with Max Chadwick, and he joins us there. Dalton, thank you so much for taking the time. When you look back on last week's quarterfinal matchups, in terms of how you perceive they would go and how they actually went, which one was most surprising?
The most surprising one to me was Ohio State losing to Miami. And honestly, the last three losses that they've taken in this game to Indiana and to Michigan last year, I think it's surprising that in every game they've just been the less physical team on the field, right? I think Ryan Day really has to answer for why his offensive and defensive lines really lost that battle. Obviously, Ohio State has the finesse players. They have the skill players, the quarterbacks, the receivers, the secondary, and all of that. But it seems to be a consistent theme in their recent losses that they're the less physical team on the field. That's exactly what happened again in that loss to Miami.
Yeah, it sure did. They got bullied, just like they did against Indiana, both lines of scrimmage. The one thing, Dalton, I thought that we would see at some point from this Ohio State offense, and let's talk about that for the moment, was I assumed there'd be tempo. I assume that, you know, we knew that Miami didn't like to rotate their defensive line. You thought maybe you could get them fatigued a little bit. Of course, you got to get first downs to be able to do it, but it would seem like Julian's strengths would match up with that. And they never really played that card. I was surprised. Were you?
I absolutely agree. I think that was the biggest flaw in their game. That was the biggest flaw in their game plan, because when you think about how you have to beat that Miami team, you almost have to treat it like the Houston Texans in the NFL, where not let this defensive line beat us. Get the ball out quickly, use the screen game, and play up-tempo, like you mentioned, to wear them out. Ohio State only running 60 plays in that entire game. That was really the biggest flaw in the plan. They went way too slow. They let that Miami defensive line stay fresh, and they really never stressed them out at all.
Dalton, what did you make of Julian Sands' first season as a starter here?
I thought he was outstanding. I think he goes into next year as the best quarterback in the country. I really do. His accuracy is off the charts. I thought he stayed composed. Even in the two losses, I don't think they were necessarily his fault. I think I could attribute the Miami one to the game plan and the lack of tempo, like you mentioned. I think Ohio State's offense is in a great place with Sands, with Jeremiah Smith obviously coming back, with Bo Jackson, and then we'll see what kind of portal additions they make as well. But I think Sands' an outstanding quarterback, and honestly, in 2027, he has the chance to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm good to hear it from your perspective, because that's what it kind of felt like around here to us too as well. If I would have told you 4 years ago that Indiana would play Alabama in the Rose Bowl and beat the ever living breaks off of them, you would have said you're out of your mind. And I would have said I'm out of my mind for asking it. How did this happen with Cignetti over 2 years, and how sustainable is all this?
It is 100% sustainable, and they are going to sustain it. This is Kurt Cignetti is really the best coach right now at figuring out how modern college football works, right? He's acquiring players in the transfer portal. He's acquiring guys that he knows he wants. He's got two excellent coordinators who know what type of players they want, and he's just accepting college football for what it is, right? I think the programs that are falling behind a little bit, I think about, you know, a team like Clemson, who's still trying to do things the old school way with high school recruiting and developing over multiple years and this and that. It's just not working anymore. Kurt Cignetti knows what the modern game requires. It's NIL, it's transfer portal, it's getting talented veteran players. And if you think these guys that come from some of these other schools, even these group of five lower schools, if you think they're not talented, you're dead wrong, especially if you coach them right. Kurt Cignetti right now, to me, especially if he wins this national title, I think he's the best coach in the country.
Oh, there's no question. I think it's the most remarkable thing that's ever happened in the history of college athletics. Like, that's the worst program historically in the history of college football. And he's got them two wins from a national title, and they're the prohibitive favorite, and they just dominated. So, yeah, it is. It's the other common thing here that we can kind of take from it, and you hit on it a little bit there, the four teams remaining are massive portal players. Like that, I said yesterday on our show here, Dalton, I would not get into a bidding war for high school football players that aren't Jeremiah Smith. I would just play this game, and this is how I would spend my money, is predominantly in the portal. Is there a common theme that you see there?
I think it's just that, look, those players, and it's kind of been rumored to be kind of a perspective that Indiana has taken, is that take those older players, they're bigger and stronger, and you almost think about it like college basketball, right, where who are a lot of the teams that go deep into the tournament? The teams that are just loaded with seniors, right, and the teams that just have the size and the strength and all of that, and they've been around longer, and they execute at a better level, right? And from a player's perspective, look, they're looking for two things, money and playing time. The days of the Alabamas and Georgias and even Ohio State's just hoarding talent on the third string of their roster, those kids know now that they can go play in the Big 12 and the ACC, even in the group of five, go down there and play for a year and then come back up and you'll be ready to be a starter at the Power Four level at the, you know, prime time kind of level. So I think that's really the goals of both sides. The teams that can figure out how to align those are the ones that are succeeding, and that's exactly what Cignetti's doing in Indiana.
Yeah, he sure is. One of the other ones in the quarterfinal matchup that I was a little bit surprised with the ease and honestly even the way that it went about its business was Oregon's dismantling of Texas Tech. Of the games other than the one that we were paying to here locally the most, obviously, it was the one I was most excited to see. I was curious. I really thought we were in for a shootout. It ended up being Oregon absolutely dominating the game. What did you make of Oregon's approach and Texas Tech maybe not showing up in that moment?
Dan Lanning, Dante Moore, Will Stein, their offensive coordinator, they understood the approach that they needed to take against the Texas Tech defense that front to back was arguably the best in the country this year. The defense was outstanding, and honestly, they are not at all to blame for that loss. What ended up happening is that Texas Tech's weak spot the entire season, now they weren't put under pressure, but this showed up in the playoff. Their weak spot the entire season was the quarterback play, right? Baron Morton could get them to the playoff, and they were clearly the best team in the Big 12, but he couldn't overcome that obstacle against a playoff caliber defense like Oregon had with Dan Lanning. And credit to Lanning, because he was not happy with his defense and the way they played against James Madison. They really bounced back big time. But you're seeing now, that's why Texas Tech just paid $5 million to go get Brendan Sorsby, because they feel like that's a legitimate upgrade at the quarterback position, and they can make a national title run next year.
All right, let's get into these matchups that we're going to get on Thursday and then Friday. Let's start with Miami and Ole Miss. Ole Miss. It's crazy. So Charlie Weiss is in the mix. They got his dad's out there tweeting that he's living vicariously through his son, who's the offensive coordinator at LSU and Ole Miss, and is getting interest from the NFL. All of this coming to a head as they take on Miami in the national semifinal. We got a firsthand look at Miami and know exactly how legitimate they are. What's your read on that matchup?
Very tough to get a read on this game when you talk about the head-to-head, because you have two teams that are such different styles, right? Miami wants to slow the game down, win in the trenches like you saw against Ohio State, win time of possession, run the football, and really disallow Ole Miss's offense from getting to that tempo. And you know, the best way right now to defend Trinidad Chambliss is to keep him on the sideline. On the other side, man, you've got just an electric quarterback in Chambliss, right? Maybe the coolest story in college football, but with Charlie Weiss Jr. and how they want to run that offense with all those receivers and Chambliss running the show, they want to get up-tempo. They run their offense at the sixth fastest pace in the country. So that tempo we talked about Ohio State didn't go to, that's now a possibility that you'll see that with Ole Miss if they can get in a rhythm and they can try to gas out this Miami defense. It reminds me a little bit of their match, of Miami's matchup against SMU earlier in the year, another up-tempo team like that. That could be an issue.
Kevin Jennings had a day against Miami that game too, as you recall. So yeah, that's an interesting one, and a lot of parallels. That Ole Miss team's a little more talented version of that SMU team that Miami lost to in Dallas middle of the season. Other side of it, you get the Big Ten matchup. This game's been played. Indiana won in Eugene and took care of it. They're favorites to do it again. Oregon's been knocking on this door for so long. The talent will equate in this one. At least that's my opinion. What do you see?
Spotlight's on the two quarterbacks, right? Maybe the first two picks in the upcoming NFL draft. We'll see, you know the Las Vegas Raiders and the New York Jets will be watching this one closely, but it really does come down to those two guys and how they can handle pressure, because the underrated part of this is you've got two extremely good defenses. Indiana's as talented as any defense in the country, and all of the things schematically they do really bothered Dante Moore the first time they played. And then even Mendoza did not play his best game in Eugene against Oregon, came out with the win but threw a pick six and didn't look all that consistently great. So curious to see how these two quarterbacks and these two offenses adjust to two really, really good defenses.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this one, buddy. What is your gut feeling on the two games this weekend or this week?
So I feel confident in Indiana. I do. I think they're the best team in the country, and I think they're just a slight bit more well-rounded than Oregon is. I'm not sure who I can trust in that Oregon receiving core. I've got Indiana by a touchdown, and I'm telling you, the other game is a coin flip. You know, I was back and forth on this all week. I had to make an official prediction on our show. I went with Ole Miss by 1 point. I'm just going to trust Trinidad Chambliss to get it done one more time.
Dude, Ole Miss, Indiana for the national title. I mean, that is nuts to think that's where we are. But we got to get used to it.
What a story that would be. Absolutely. It would be so much fun.
All right, buddy. Always appreciate the conversation. Thanks for giving us a little bit of your time today.
Absolutely. Take it easy, Bo.
All right. That's Dalton Wasserman, PFF College Football Show with Max Chadwick. It's funny, and I think I mentioned this earlier in the week. When people would ask me, when I would do, like, we would do that stuff in the offseason, like compare SEC programs to Big Ten programs, like Ohio State, Alabama, or Michigan, LSU, whatever, however you want to do it. Probably with those two would be inverted. But the thing that I always would say is Ole Miss is Indiana. Like, that's what they are. And now those two teams are knocking at the door of playing for a national title, and Indiana is the prohibitive favorite. It is wild to wrap your head around that. We'll do three things on a Tuesday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Eglin's Best.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
How many different ways can you consume morning juice?
Let's see.
Live on YouTube, live on the Fans HD3 podcast on demand, and on 10 TV Plus.
And we'll send Bobby right to your house.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
The Fan.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we.
Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. What's on the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan Poll asks, do you think the Browns made the right decision in keeping Andrew Berry but moving on from Kevin Stefanski? Your options for the Daily Fan Poll are yes, no, both should be gone. No, both should have stayed. 82% says no, both should be gone. 11% no, both should have stayed. 6% say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was surprising that kind of the way that it went down for some on the outside. Ownership kind of outlined the reasons that Andrew Berry got to stick around at predominantly being a very good draft class this year. But they've got a lot of work to do between now and next season. And one of the things that I did think was interesting of some of the conversation yesterday was that the new coach would have a say on who the quarterback was. And I thought, well, yeah, he's going to, I would want that. No one wants to be strapped with anybody. So that'll be job one for them is figuring that one out this offseason, which will take some figuring because, I don't know, where are you guys on Shador? 7 games of it.
I think there's enough there to bring him back so long as you get talent around him. this draft and in the offseason, then he's a viable option to go into camp and compete. But I think the priority for whoever is going to be the coach is get a veteran in there.
You're not winning with him next year, not at a playoff level. And he just needs more development. There could be something there, but you're not winning next year with him.
Yeah. Good. Those are the decisions that are going to have to be made up there here over the next 3 or 4 months in what is a critical time for them. They should have a lot of cap space that they can work with. They've got 3 picks in the first 45. If they hit on those, I mean, ask Jacksonville and New England. You can flip it pretty quickly if you're smart with your picks and if you get the quarterback thing and the coach thing right. So that'll be their task up there. All right, time for three things on a Tuesday. Hit it, fellas.
One, two, three things.
All right, number one for me. So this is how this went down. So last night, get home from the basketball, and we're watching the Montana State National Championship. And my wife says, Parker Beamsy wants you to say something wrong with Buddy's ear. There's something on Buddy's ear. Okay. He's a golden retriever, so like he's constantly has ear that's need to be cleaned and all of that. Okay, fine. So I get him near me, and I'm like, oh, well, this is interesting. And he gets like a matted down thing that happens with the fur on his ear. Like that happens quite a bit. This actually wasn't his ear. It was his neck. So I'm touching it, and it feels like kind of clumpy. And I'm like, what is this? What the hell is this? So I pin him down, and I look at it, and it's a wound about the size of a silver dollar, I would say, on his neck. And immediately I go, well, that's clearly not right. So we kind of look at it and get it clean. And having been around animals, I kind of knew how that was going to go. So that leads NBC to go into his Ask Siri mode on his phone, to which point they say the Siri is convinced that it's ringworm. That sets off Category 1 panic now. I mean, DEFCON 1. We're DEFCON 1, Category 5 hurricane. My wife is now dressed as Doc Brown in Back to the Future trying to smuggle plutonium. She's head to toe covered. We have rubber gloves everywhere. She took Clorox wipes, which I don't even think you should do, and wiped the bottoms of her feet after walking downstairs for fear that it would spread. I'm like, I don't think this is what this is. I'm not a vet. I just don't think this is what this is. Maybe we don't need to panic to this level. Could not sleep. Stop bugging me about it last night. Took a picture, sent it to the vet. They don't think it's ringworm either. It's probably some other wound. We'll get it sorted out. He's going to the vet tomorrow. So all good that ends well, potentially here. Fingers crossed that it's no ringworm. I don't want to deal with that. But it was pure comedy last night watching the panic ensue.
Yeah, I guess I'll just make this my first thing. Never, ever with human ailments or with pet, especially with pet ailments, Google.
Oh, God.
What the issues are.
Dude.
Nothing sets off more panic than trying to Google, why is my dog making this noise or doing this thing?
She made Beamsy, who was asleep, go get in the shower.
Nope.
At 9:40 at night, he comes down crying at 10. He's like, is Buddy going to die? No, he's not going to die. He's going to be fine.
I want to know how many people out there know, like, your reference of the size of a silver dollar. How many people know how big a silver dollar is nowadays?
Probably not many, yeah.
First thing for me, 1 year ago today was the very first iteration of the three of us as Bishop and Friends. Yes, it was January 6th last year, the first Monday of the new year. I just want to say thank you to you guys for welcoming me in and working with me and having me part of the show. It has been awesome this year, not only getting to watch you guys and know you guys better professionally, but also on a personal level, and hopefully better things to come in year number two.
Great job out of you, Bake. That's a good job. I knew that it was around this time, but I was unaware that it was actually today. Number two for me, there's a human toll when you get to know people. And it's why whether I talk about Ohio State or the Browns, the two things that I'm closest to, I always say that I will never say anything about a coach that I wouldn't say to their face, because in many instances, I know these people and have gotten to know them and in some instances become friends. And certainly I would not categorize Kevin Stefanski and myself as friends, but we're certainly friendly. And I saw him a lot in youth sports, and I'd see him around and did a lot of things. He's a good human. And I hope that, and I think he's a really good football coach. And I think the thing that I hope for him is the next time that he becomes a head coach, I hope he shows a little bit more of that to the public, because I think the view that you guys got of him was very different from what the actual guy is.
Second thing for me, the country of Vietnam has reportedly passed a law banning unskippable unskippable abdominal muscles on streaming platforms like YouTube. So users in the country starting on February 15th can skip all ads in 5 seconds on every single streaming platform.
At no cost to them?
No. If they have the service, if they use the platform, and an ad shows up, 5 seconds, they can skip it.
Wow.
What if this is a live performance, so like a game? What do they show then?
I didn't look that far into it.
Just like on on Peacock when it says, like, your event will return shortly.
Just that.
You just skip that. Like that.
Yeah.
Second thing for me, and I probably don't do this enough for our show, but if you are a Bengals fan or if you want to know anything about the Bengals and their offseason, our interview today with Ben Baby was fantastic. There was a lot of good stuff in there. He talked about his relationship with Joe, Zach Taylor, the offense not being good enough. And I think most people wouldn't think that about the Bengals, but he said their offense isn't good enough, and also accountability. So go find the Bishop and Friends podcast wherever you podcast, like and subscribe, and listen to that Ben Baby interview today because it was one of the best we've ever had.
If you want to know, like, what's going on there, That's you got it. It's right there. Number three for me, I don't know how we didn't get the audio. We're going to get the audio for this tomorrow. So Steve, I just realized this in the last break. Steve Kerr was thrown out of the game last night for the Warriors that he was coaching. Snoop Dogg was on the call.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we'll have that tomorrow. I'll tell you, that's a little preview for tomorrow. We're going to have that. I'm going to need to hear that.
I think that was an NBC joint as well on Monday nights.
As it would be.
I found this from Zach Barnett of Football Scoop earlier in the hour, and he writes, perhaps nothing explains how drastically and how quickly things have changed than this in regards to college football. Last year's Ohio State-Texas semifinal, the team started 20 former top 100 recruits, and nearly 84% of the starting lineups were homegrown. In Thursday's Ole Miss-Miami semifinal, the teams will start 4 former top 100 recruits, and nearly 60% of the starters are portal persons.
That's what I'm saying. The new day is here, dude. It's here.
And I don't feel like that's a change for the better, quite frankly.
I don't either, but that's where we're at.
Final thing for me, don't go anywhere this afternoon. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Dylan Tyer in for AR again with Maddie. They want to hear from you. The floor is yours at 1 o'clock. So call in. They'll put you on the shot clock, and you can talk about whatever you want in the sports world. They'll also have our friend Tyvus Powell at 1:30.
You have that to look forward to, which is very nice. We are back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.